ஜெயம் விஷுபால பரமஹம்ச பரிபிராஜகாச்சாரியா அஷ்டோத்தர சத ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமான் அபய சரணாரவிந்த பக்திவேதாந்த கோஸ்வாமி ஹரஷீல பிரபுபாதிக்கு ஜெயம். நித்யலீலா பிரவிஷ்டா விஷ்ணுபாத பரமஹம்ச பரிபிராஜகாச்சாரியா அஷ்டோத்தர சத ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமான் பக்த சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி மகாராஜ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாதிக்கு அனந்தகோடி வைஷ்ணவ பிருந்தைக்கு நாமாச்சாரிய ஸ்ரீல ஹரிதாஸ் தாக்கூர்க்கு பிரேம் சகோ ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌர பக்த பிருந்தைக்கு ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீ ராதா கிருஷ்ண கோப கோவிநாத ஷியாமகுண்ட ராதா குண்டகிரி கோவர்தானிக்கு பிருந்தாவன் தாம்கி மாயப்பூர் தாம்கி மதுரபுரி தாம்கி ஜெகநாத் புரி தாம்கி துவாரகாபுரி தாம்கி கங்கை மாய்க்கு யமுன மாய்க்கு துளசி தேவிக்கு பக்தி தேவிக்கு சமவேத பக்த பிருந்தைக்கு ரோர் பிரேமாந்தி. All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale, Srimadeva Bhaktivedanda Swami Nidhi Namini, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Deshadarini. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் பார்த்தாய பிரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதாம் நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வியாசேன கிருதிதாம் புராண முனிநாம் மத்யே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிரதவர்ஷிணீ பகவதி அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினீம் அம்ப த்வாமனுசந்ததாமி பகவத்கீதே பவத்வேஷிணீ. நமோஸ்துதே வியாச விஷால புத்தே புல்லாரவிந்தாயத பத்ர நேத்ராம் யேன த்வயா பாரத தைல பூர்ண பிரஜ்வாலிதோ ஞானமய பிரதீபம் பிரபன்ன பாரிஜாதாய தோத்ரவேத்ரைக பாணய ஞானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய கீதாமிரத துஹே நம. சர்வோபனிஷதோ காவோ துக்தா கோபாலநந்தனா பார்த்தோயல்ஸ சுதீர் போக்தா துக்தம் கீதாமிருதம் மஹத் வசுதேவ சுதம் தேவம் கம்சச்சானூரமர்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜெகத்குரும். பீஷ்மத்ரோணதடா ஜயத்ரத ஜலா காந்தார நீலோல்பல சல்யக்ராஹவதீ கிருபேண வஹனி கர்ணேன வேலாக்குல அஸ்வத்தாமா விகர்ண கோரமகரா துரியோதனாவர்த்தினி சுதீர்ண கலு பாண்டவைரண நதி கைவர்த்தக கேசவா பாராசரியவஜசரோஜமலம் கீதார்த்தகந்தோல்கடம் நானாக்கியானகேசரம் ஹரிகதா சம்போதனாபோதிதம் லோகை சஜ்ஜனஷல்பதைரஹர பேபீயமானம் முதா பூயாத் பாரத பங்கஜக்கலிமல பிரத்வம்சினஸ்ரேயசே. மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கை தேகிரிம் ஜல்கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் யம் பிரம்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ரமருதஸ்வன் வந்தி திவ்யை ஸ்தவை வேதை சாங்கபதை கிரம உபனிஷதை காயந்தியம் சமகாஹ தியானாவஸ்திதத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுஸ்வராசுரகணை தேவாய தஸ்மை நம. சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த. On these three modes of material nature, Krishna is saying one important point. What's that? He says, even if one do not succeed in the path of self-realization in this life, at least come to the path of Satugunam. And in the three verses, he's going to say, what will happen if you leave the body in Sattvagunam or in Rajagunam or in Tamagunam. So Krishna's point is that even if you do not make it in this life, which he knows very well, and that it is not possible to become free from the vasanas, what we have created from different lifetimes, and knowing very well our situation, as he mentioned, Aneka Janma Samsiddhim Teviyadi Parangadim. After several lifetimes, only one attains perfection in spiritual path, which means self-realization. Because it is like that, what can be done in this one life? That is his point. That's what Krishna is explaining in these three modes of nature. is saying that if you can at least progress to the level of Sattvagunam and remain in Sattvagunam while leaving this body, that itself will decide a glorified future in the next birth. That's what he is saying here, right? So he says, if the you see that verses, what he is saying there, yada sattve pravrdhedo, that is 14th verse, I think, pralayam yadi dehabrit, tada uttama vidam loka amalan pradipadhyade. Sattve pravrdhe udbhude tu pralayam maranam yadi dehabrit, alma tada uttama vidam mahadi tattu vidam idi edad, lokan amalan malarehidan pradipadhyade pratnodi idi edad. At the time of death, if one has increased sattugunam in him, then that soul, atma, will go to the higher great personality, world of great devotees, jnanis, yogis and like that. So sattugunam we mentioned last Sunday, that salsangam, chanting the holy name, dhyanam, bhajanam. In this way, if whole life is spent, then what will happen is that this Shravanam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, Vedanta Vicharam, and similarly sattvic way of life, eating habits, and similarly sattvic lifestyle, and lives in dharma, following the path of dharma, if it is like that, he will come and take birth somewhere where there is a lot of sattvagunam, people with sattvagunam. This is what Krishna is saying, that he will get an opportunity to take birth in an association with people who have sattvagunam. And so, in other words, you will get a birth in a place where there is people with a lot of upasana, who are performing good upasana. So, in the 6th chapter, Krishna mentioned that you will take birth in the family of yogis and things like that, right? So, which is favorable for sadhana and for bhakti. That means the place where you are born will be favorable for will be favorable for spiritual life. That's a big thing. If you get that opportunity to take birth in a place where it is very favorable for spiritual life, that's a big asset in spiritual path. Later on it is very difficult. It is not possible. A lot of things are decided at the time of birth itself. Place where you are born and the circumstances you were born and the gunam there, that determines to a large extent your spiritual life. Old age it is very difficult to change everything. So, in other words, if the jiva gets an opportunity for such circumstances, and what will happen is this upasana, what we have done in this life, will continue from there straight away. So, many, many examples of that, that the people who were in that state in their previous life, and straight away from that, sattugunam in their previous life has given them an opportunity to come and take birth in a situation very favorable for spiritual life, right? So, as I mentioned last Sunday, that in human body we have all different type of nature. We have demonic nature in us, we have rakshasa nature in us, asura nature, Deva's nature is also in us, and all possibilities are there within our body, right? And similarly, there could be animalistic propensities also in us. There is animal within us, right? Or Mahavishnu also will be there. Krishna is also there. In this body, that is a speciality of this human body. All different kinds of bhavam is possible within this body. So, sometimes higher people from higher planets, they come and take birth in the human body. You can never say what it is. Due to some prarabdham, they come here. And you can see such stories in the Puranams. of people from higher planets coming and taking birth in the human body. And they'll come and they will finish their prarabdham and go back. Right? So, as I said that last time also, Brahmananda Swamiji's life was like that. Right? So, this Bhava Mandalam, the mandalam, the plane of our mind, where we are, the status of our mind, a lot to extent depends upon the consciousness what we brought with us from previous lives, right? So, and similarly, yakshas, gandharvas, vidyadharas, they are all there in our consciousness. That is possible. So, after death, from the human plane of existence, human phase of existence, where we will go, it is very difficult to say. But all this is, remember that, all this is within Prakriti, within the material nature, right? So, because it is within Maya, it is very difficult to precisely say how a person will move on to the next body. So, this birth of repetition of birth and death is also within Maya. You must not forget that. Repetition of birth and death is also within Maya, right? And it's all on the relative plane. In other words, that birth and death, it's all also on the relative platform. Within Maya, everything is happening. Not in the absolute platform. It's all in the relative platform, right? So, so we are now talking about a relative existence. That means, in different bodies, what we passing through at different times. This is the relative existence. Not our absolute state. Absolute state is fully realized state, is pure consciousness. That is outside Maya. But within Maya, what is happening for us, this repeated birth and death, what happens all the time, that's what is being discussed here. Right. So, after saying that about Satugunam, Krishna said that, what we discussed last Sunday also, then what did he say about Rajogunam? Rajasi pralayam gatva karma sangeshu jayate tatha pralinas tamasi mudha yonishu jayate. When the Rajogunam, if you die at that in Rajogunam, then next life is certainly in the world of people who are engaged in karmam, heavy karmam. This karma vasana is come from Rajogunam. So therefore, if you die in that consciousness or in that state of rajasic nature, the next life will be among people who are very absorbed in karmam. Similarly, one who born, Krishna says, adha pralina tamasi mudha yonishu jayate. Rajasi gune vivrdhe pralayam maranam gatva prapya karma sangeshu karma sakti yukteshu munashyeshu jayade tatha tavdvad eva pralina umrda tamasi vivrdhe mudha yonishu pashuadi yonishu jayate. Tamogunam, if one dies in tamogunam, at that time he will take birth in the animals kingdom, animals world, animals, birds, beasts and things like that. So, he has made that very clear. Krishna has made that very clear. That if you leave the body in Sattugunam, you will get an opportunity for another birth among people in Sattugunam. And where there is strong upasana, possibility of developing further. That is the beauty of Sattugunam. If you die in Rajogunam, you will take birth among people who are very absorbed in karma. Actions, always busy with karma. Karma sangeshu jayade, who are attached to karmam heavily. And then, if you die in tamogunam, you take birth among the animals, birds, beasts and things like that, right? So rajogunam, if you die, what will happen is, you'll take birth in a place where everybody is very busy in absorbed in karma. Karma kalapam, it is called. Karma kalama means they don't know anything about life except working. Work, work, work. That becomes the only motive. And a hard working nature, hard work, they will they invest all their energy in creating, destroying in this way. So, that means while birth itself he is in the middle of pravarti mandalam, that means field of activities, right? And then what will happen to him is that whole life he will never be able to peacefully inquire about anything or live in a peaceful state, totally absorbed in work. Whole life will go like that, right? Whole life will be work, 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 and never completed. Work that never gets completed, right? And in other words, he'll go and take birth in people who are very attached to karma, working hard, right? And then he will do karma throughout the life. In other words, he will continuously create more bondage through karma. That is the problem with that, right? Similarly, tamogunam means he will go and take birth in the birds, animals, and or even among human species who are of the lowest consciousness. In other words, nothing gets into their head about spiritual life. Maudhyam. That is their nature. And it is not possible to get rid of that whole thing in one birth from that motatvam, right? And only thing is that they cannot even hear anything. Shravanam is not possible for them to such an extent, right? And they cannot do any action or work also properly. That is that muta yonishu jayade means. See Krishna saying there? Tadha pralinastamasi muta yonishu jayade. That means hopeless situation. You can't do anything about it. The whole life is gone like that. So, therefore, best among the three is naturally sattvagunam. It's the best. Sattvagunam means even if you don't get that, chances of almavijaram or self-realization, inquiry for self-realization or knowledge, even if that has not happened, at least to live in sattvagunam, in the sense that engaging in bhakti, chanting the holy name, performing sankirtanam, dhyanam, salsangam, tyagam, vairagyam, satyanishtha, shandi, all these are associated with sattvagunam. If all these things develop, they are all favorable for knowledge. They are all favorable for knowledge, right? Even if you are not received the spiritual knowledge, able to take in the spiritual knowledge properly, there is nothing to lose. That is Krishna's point, right? So, Krishna is going to summarize the whole thing in another words. He is saying that in the next words. Karmanam sukhrutasyahu satyo nirmalam bhalam rajasastu bhalam dukkham ajnanam tamasap bhalam. So, with these three modes, what will happen to us? He is summarizing that. He is saying that karmanam sukhrutasyahu Satyugyasa ityartaha aho shishta satyugyam eva nurmala bhalam idhi rajasastu rajasasya karmana ityartaha karma adhikarat bhalam abhidukham eva karana anirupya rajasam eva tada ajnanam tamasa tamasasya karmana adharmasya purvavat. If you, the result of salkarmam or satyugyadhividam, satyug way of life is nurmalam, it's pure. Rajogunam, it is distress at the end, distress, and tamogunam falls into ignorance. So, very clearly Krishna puts it like that. Sattvagunam, if one cultivates, it keeps purifying him all the time, nirmalam. Sakarmanam sukhrutasyahu satyugyam nirmalam bhalam. Nirmalam, no malam, purification happens. Rajasastu tam bhalam dukkham. Rajasam, rajogunam means he dies in attached to karmam. And the end result of all karma is dukkham, distress. Ajnanam tamasa bhalam. Dying in tamogunam is ignorance, total ignorance, never able to come out of it. So that's what he is saying here. So if you perform pious activities, punya karmam, the result is satvigam. If you engage in rajogunam, the result is distress, dukkham, because he will keep on doing karmam, karmam, one after the other, and he has to suffer the after effect of that karmam, right? Which, what is that? Dukkha, distress, right? What about tamogunam? Tamasa phalam, he says. That ajnanam, maudhyam. Though the idea of saying all these things is, one has to look to oneself, one's own life, right? and find out where one stands, we ourselves, each one of us. Something like writing an autobiography, that you look to yourself and see where you stand, right? And look at ourselves and see where are we. Are we in sattvam, or are we in rajasa, or in tamasa, right? So, that's it. From these three modes, trigunam, what will happen? Krishna saying next. Sattval sanjayate jnanam, rajaso lobham evacha, pramada mohau tamaso, bhavado ajnanam evacha. Sattva labdhalpagatvad, samjayate samudpadyate jnanam, rajaso lobha evacha, pramada mohau ja ubhau, tamaso bhavada ajnanam evacha bhavadi. In other words, he says that sattvagunam will bring knowledge. That is the beauty of sattvagunam. Continuously, spiritual understanding increases within. The awareness of spiritual life improves a lot, right? Sattvagunam, particularly shuddha sattvam, normala sattvam, that will, normala sattvam, shuddha sattvam, will pave the way for self-realization, for knowledge, right? Yogis have got very good understanding on these things. Ashtanga Yogam, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, right? They are saying that all these three things will happen within in a person inside, right? If a person, when he closes his eyes, and if he is in tamogunam, if he closes his eyes, he says they will only see darkness, they won't see any light when they close their eyes. If they close their eyes, this is from the Ashtanga Yogam side. If they close their eyes in Rajogunam, then either reddish color or yellowish color will come. So, all these are considered to be Yoga Mandalam, the different phases of Yogam, Ashtanga Yogam, right? Like, you know the different chakras in the body, Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahatam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Sahasraram. These are the different chakras in the body, right? So, out of those chakras, the lower three ones, Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, they are all belonging to Tamogunam. They are in the Tamogunam. Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, the lower three chakras, they are in the Tamogunam, right? Then comes Anahatam and Vishuddhi. And it is in Vishuddhi, Sattvagunam will start building up in a person. When the Jiva comes all the way up to Vishuddhi, in Vishuddhi only he gets the opportunity for developing Sattvagunam. Right? So, Vishuddhi, once it reaches Vishuddhi, then he is in Sattvagunam, Satyagam. And then he go further, Ajna, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Sahasrara, Ajna, Vishuddhi, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Samskaram. So, they are all Satyagya phases, right? So, Ajna is Shuddha Sattvam. And what he is doing is that he is moving away from the three modes of nature and moving to the spiritual path, of phase of spiritual knowledge. Moving away from the three modes of nature and moving to the phase of spiritual knowledge, right? Ajna Chakram is where there is no mind. You become free from the mind. You see that mentioned in the Saundarya Lahari, very precisely spoken, what it means. Mahi Mooladhari Kamabhi Manipure Hudavaham Stidam Swadhishtane Hridimarudam Akasham Upari Mano Bibhrumadhye Sakalamabhivitva Kulapatham Sahasrare Padme Saharahasi Patya Viharase. Paramacharya has spoken extensively on Saundarya Lahari, where he talks about this. That what he says there is that once he comes to this Ajna Chakram, you can look at the word itself, what that means, right? In other words, one who is able to live according to the Ajna, the order of Antaryami or Krishna, right? You can only do that once, only when we reach the that chakra, Ajna chakram, only then you will be able to live according to the instructions of the Antaryami, right? Up to that time, it is not Ajna, it is Icha. Icha till, that means that influenced by our Vasana. According to the Vasana and desire, we will live in this world. But once it reaches Ajna chakram, then you will be able to abide by the Shastram to live. So, desire is Icha Shakti. Icha Shakti means desire, right? In other words, our Sangalpam, our Vasana, our Kamam, all these things, that's what is operating in the lower chakram. Muladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuram and all is operating in that plane of our desires, our Vasanas, our Kamam, things like that. So, once it has looked Brahmadhyam here, that Jiva, there the Icha Shakti has gone, desires have gone, the different urges or drives from inside, they have all gone. Only what happens there is Ajna Chakram. Ajna. Only in Krishna, Antaryami decides everything. Antaryami does it like that. You are just an instrument in the hands of Antaryami. So the body becomes like that. That's how it will be, right? So, through this body, how Antaryami manages it, accordingly body will work. At that stage, right? Ajna, the word itself is very interesting. Ajna means order. According to the order of the Antaryami, it will work completely. Up to that, in the lower chakras, it's all driven by our vasanas, our prarabdham, our sangalpam, our desires and things like that. That's Muladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam. Only when it comes to Vishuddhi, you come to the Satvikam stage. And then when it comes to Ajna, by then, more direct instructions from Antaryami will drive the life. So this is how we are controlled in Satvaguna. So, yeah. So, only in that level, when it is in the Ajna, Vishuddhi and above, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Sahasrayam, like that, only in those levels, proper spiritual knowledge will come to a person. He'll become conscious of spiritual life seriously, and he will not have doubts in his mind. He will, by then, all his ego has also gone. Ahangaram has gone completely from him. And then the chances of coming down from there is very little. He will only go up from there. So, up to Vishuddhi Chakram, even if you have come up to that, there is a chance that you can go back again, go down from that. So, to get to that, it takes time. It takes time. So, all these things happen very, very slowly. It doesn't happen overnight, right? we may not even know that when this is happening. Bhakti process or Jnana Margam, all these things, within that, it is like this, that when a bird, big birds, when they are flying in the sky, if you have noticed, when there is good sunshine, their shadow will fall on the ground. Big eagles or something, when they dry, when they fly, when there is good sunshine, their shadow will fall on the ground, the birds flying in the sky. Right? Similarly, this, our Antaryami, who is present inside, right, it is there, but at the same time, the impurities in our heart, due to identification with the body, all our vasanas, chittavrittis, and desires, all kinds of things, impurities within us, right? Little by little, we are becoming free from that, from those impurities. And that is what, I mean, step by step, becoming free from that, that is what is called Kundalini. In another language, they call it as Kundalini, right? So, that our pride within us, about within this body, people have pride about their own body, isn't it? Bodily identification means that, different levels of pride within the body. I belong to this group, I belong to this society, I belong to this country, I belong to this family. Various types of bodily identities, in different ways, what is present in us. And that is being, we becoming free from that step by step. And that is what he is talking about here. Ichashakti, that means the desiring nature within us. And when we give up this becoming free from that influence of the mind, then when you look at it from the platform of the body, from the bodily plane, if you look at it, Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, these are all chakras referring to that. In other words, when you are within the grip of the body and the mind, within the vasanas, with the desires, with all kinds of impurities in the heart, lust, anger, greed and all this, you can understand Shastram easily when you look into the world outside. You'll understand it better. Yeah? You'll understand it better. Right? They call it these different names. That's all. Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam. They are all different names. Basically what it means is that you are within the control of your own prakriti, your own swabhav. You are not become free from that. So that's what he is saying here. Sahasrare padme saharakasi pathya viharase. The last line in that last verse. Mahim mooladhare kamabhi manipure hutavaham sthidam swadhisthane hridi maridam agasham upari manobhi bhrumadye sakalam abhibitva kulapatam sahasrare padme saharakasi pathya viharase. Means that once you have become free from your own ahangaram, ego, then sahasrare padme, from then onwards, it is chidvilasam. In other words, ajna chakram is shuddha sattvam. Right? And that is where self-realization happens. Ajna chakram. Right? So, where you become free from tribhudi. Tribhudi, you understand me, God and the world. That is tribhudi. At the moment it is like that. All other religions are based on this tribhudi. So self-realization happens at that time, right? And that is when you become Swarupa Darshanam. In other words, experiencing oneself, what one is, right? So that is why Krishna said there, Satwal Sanjayade Jnanam, he says. Sattvagunam is responsible for self-realization. Rajogunam creates lobham evacha. Lobham, greed. Want to get more. Endlessly desiring things, right? Pramado mohatamasa. From tamogunam comes pramadam and moham. That means full of avidya, ajnanam. And it is like this, sometimes when you buy one, get one free in the supermarket, guys, you offer like that, is it not? In the same way, ajnanam is free if you get buy tamogunam. Ajnanam gets free with that, right? So with tamogunam, what you get free is ajnanam, along with that, right? Pramadam moham you will get from tamogunam, and ajnanam is free with that. Therefore, the message is, cultivate sattvagunam as much as possible. Cultivate sattvagunam. That is what the message is, right? So, Krishna has said all those things in this chapter. And then, sattval sanjayade jnanam rajaso lobham evacha pramada mohau tamasau bhavado ajnanam evacha. Then, next verse, Krishna is saying that what will happen if you are in this die in these three states. Urdvam gacchandi sattvastha madhye tishtandi rajasaha jaganya guna vrittastha adho gacchandi tamasaha. Famous verses. Yeah. Urdvam gacchandi sattvastha madhye tishtandi rajasa jaganya guna vrittastha adho gacchandi tamasaha. Then urdvam gacchandi devalokadishu ulpadyande sattvastha sattva-guna-vrtyasaha madhye-tishtandi manushyeshu-utpadyande rajasaha jaganya-guna-vrtyasaha jaganyascha asau-gunascha jaganya-guna-tamaha tasya-vrtyam-nidra-alasyadi tasmin-sthidaha jaganya-guna-vrtyasaha mudaha adaha gachandi పశువాది యోనిషు ఉల్పద్యంది కే తామసాహ. సో సాత్వికం, ఇఫ్ యు ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ సాత్విక కర్మం యూ విల్ గో అప్, యూ వోంట్ కమ్ డౌన్. ఇన్ అదర్వైజ్ యూ విల్ గో టేక్ బర్త్ ఇన్ సచ్ సిచ్యువేషన్స్ అమంగ్ హయర్ ప్లానెట్స్ ఆర్ హయర్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ వేర్ దేర్ ఈస్ హయర్ నాలెడ్జ్ బై బర్త్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. బై బర్త్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ నాలెడ్జ్. పరమాచార్య సేస్ సేస్ దాట్ హీ సేస్ దాట్ పీపుల్ హూ టేక్ బర్త్ ఇన్ విద్యాధరాస్ గంధర్వాస్ ఆల్ దేవదాస్ ఇన్ ది హయర్ ప్లానెట్స్ దే డోంట్ హ్యావ్ టు కల్టివేట్ నాలెడ్జ్. బై బర్త్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ దే హ్యావ్ నాలెడ్జ్. అండ్ లైక్ అస్ వి హ్యావ్ ఇన్ ది హ్యూమన్ స్పీసీస్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు స్టార్ట్ కల్టివేట్ స్పిరిచువల్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఫస్ట్. We have, because we are totally bound with identification with the body. Whereas in the higher planes of existence, you have the possibility of taking birth with knowledge. That is a benefit, right? And so sattva-gunam leads to all those things. Whereas rajogunis, they come and take birth in the human species. And similarly, those who are in the tamogunam, when they leave the body, they come and take birth with laziness, sleep, and naturally they will take birth in the species of animals and birds and things like that. So, there is so much explanation to all these things. And you can see why Krishna has spoken about Gunatrayam so strongly, about these three modes of nature, right? Purushasya prakritistattvarubena mithyajnanena yuktasya bhogeshu guneshu సుఖ దుఃఖ మోహాల్పకేషు సుఖీ దుఃఖీ మూఢః అహం అస్మి ఇది ఏవం రూపోయః సంగః తల్కారణం పురుషస్య సదసద్యోని జన్మ ప్రాప్తిలక్షణస్య సంసారస్య ఇది సమాసైన పూర్వ అధ్యాయే ఏదుక్తం తద్ ఇహ సత్వం రజస్తమ ఇది గుణ ప్రకృతి సంభవ 14th chapter 5th verse ఇత్యద ఆరభ్య గుణస్వరూపం గుణవృత్తం స్వవృత్తేన చ గుణానాం బంధకత్వం గుణవృత్త నిబద్ధస్య పురుషస్య యాగది ఇది ఏదత్ సర్వం మిథ్యాజ్ఞానం అజ్ఞానమూలం బంధకారణం విస్తరేణ ఉక్త్వా అధునా సమ్యక్ దర్శనాల్ మోక్షో వక్తవ్యం ఇది ఆహా భగవాన్. వెన్ వీఆర్ ఇన్ ది గ్రిప్ ఆఫ్ ప్రకృతి, వెన్ వీఆర్ ఇన్ ద గ్రిప్ ఆఫ్ ప్రకృతి, ద ఫస్ట్ ప్రాబ్లం వీ హ్యావ్ ఈస్ దాట్ వి ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ద ప్రకృతి. వీఆర్ పురుష యాక్చువల్లీ, బట్ దిస్ మిస్అండర్స్టాండింగ్ కమ్స్. Purusha and Prakriti is one and the same, right? So therefore what happens? Because we identify with the Prakriti, that is the reason that we get attracted to Bhogam. Once we get a body, then the desire is wants to enjoy the body or to keep the body comfortable. And it's very difficult to become free from that, isn't it? And what happens? Once you accept the body, then Krishna is saying that with your bodily attachment, naturally you will get happiness and distress from that. Sukham, dukham. And moham, illusion, right? In other words, sometimes you will think that I am happy, sometimes you will think I am in distress, sometimes you will say I am very stupid. In this way, three things, right? Due to that, because of that, you get higher and lower births in this world itself. In different wombs it takes birth, higher or lower, right? That way samsaram begins, cycle of birth and death, right? So in this chapter, the three modes of nature and their activities, and due to that how you fall in bondage, right? And his destination afterwards, all these things are due to the avidya that is inside us, right? And then Krishna is going to talk about that. When one gets free from these illusions of these three modes of nature, how he will go into the mukti stage, liberation stage, what will be his situation when he has become free from the three modes. So far Krishna has spoken us in detail about sattva-gunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, and how these three modes will control us all the time. Remember that all this is within the jurisdiction of prakriti, maya. Within maya this is happening, not from the absolute platform, all on a relative platform this is happening, right? So, so Krishna mentioned there, prakasham, prakasham means light, knowledge, right? You can call it as jyoti or agni, prakasham, light. Generally, when we say like that, it is talked about the light, what we get here. This is prakasham, right? But sun, moon, they are all prakasham, light, right? In other words, anything that gives us vision, our eyes are able to see things properly. That's light, right? Once that shows us objects, right? In the prakriti, prakasham comes from sun and the moon. And what is that gives sun and the moon the power to give us light? What is that power that gives sun and moon that gives power to us to see things, right? And or our eyes are able to see things, right? So with the eyes we see the sun, we see the moon, we see the fire, chakshuhu. So this eye is able to see because the predominating deities of the eye are present in our eyes, right? And more than the sun and moon, it is more capable, our eyes are more capable capturing the image, more than the sun and the moon. The eye is more subtle in capturing an image inside us, bringing it inside us, right? So, it's only because we have the eye we are able to see the sun or the moon, right? Similarly, if we have no ear, this sense, ear, even if there is sound in the world, we won't hear it, isn't it? We won't perceive that. So, in other words, from the tatviyam, from tattvam level, eye is the sun. Eye is considered to be the sun. And similarly, the moon, the fire, everything. In other words, eye is the one which gives us form, a form of a person, a form of any object. In that form that comes inside us, how we experience it is due to the power of the eye. That is eye's power. Able to bring an object and bring it inside us, make it experience for us. That power is for the eye. Similarly, sound, able to bring it in inside and give us an experience, that power is coming from the ear. Similarly, the tongue for the taste, the nose for the smell, and the skin for touch experience. Five different senses of knowledge. So, five different ways an object is experienced inside with the help of five different senses. So, then the question is, if you don't have the eye, can you see? In the dream state you are seeing again, is it not? So, what is happening there is, in dream, the mind becomes the eye. Yeah? And mind becomes the eye, right? Even in the dream state, you are able to see things without this eye. You are seeing, the mind becomes the eye. Similarly, mind becomes the ear to hear the sound. So, therefore, the sense and the mind, they have a close relationship. Senses and the mind have a close relationship, right? And sometimes you can see, mind, you will say like this, my mind is not in a good situation at the moment. My mood is gone. We say like that, isn't it? We say, so who said that? I don't have a good mood. Who is saying that? I feel very disturbed or I feel very unhappy inside the mind. Who is saying that? That the mind is not happy, right? And so similarly when you see the dream state also, there is someone who is seeing the dream, is it not? So, So these are things to be thought through. Very subtle level all this is happening within us, right? So Sakshi Bhavam, you have to go two more steps further. That is only for people who are thinking everything in a very through the Shastram, right? That means beyond the mind there is Buddhi, and Buddhi, beyond the Buddhi there is Avyaktam. And Krishna said that is in it. Indriyani pararahu indriyebhi param mana manasastu para buddhi yo buddhe paradastusa. Earlier he says that, right? So yo buddhe paradastusa means that someone there who is seeing this mind and remaining as a witness within, that is what is called prakasham. That someone, you remember, yo buddhe paradastusa, beyond buddhi, that sa, what Krishna is saying there, yo buddhe paradastusa, that sa is the one who is above buddhi, observing what's happening in the buddhi, in the mind and the senses. Right? So when you wanted to, that is what that prakasham Krishna is talking about. Earlier he mentioned prakashancha pravrittimcha, about satvagunam when he was saying that. Yeah. Or he also said that 11th verse, sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayade, means that prakasham does not mean the light, the presence of this andaryami coming out through different channels, through the senses, through the mind, and we becoming aware of that, that andaryami is operating through all these things, we becoming conscious of that. At the moment we only know this body and the senses, is it not? Sensual enjoyment and bodily happiness, that's where we are at. These are talking about the yogis. He's saying there that when Krishna uses the word prakasham, prakasham is not just light only. Prakasham means this andaryami inside working through different agents in the body, like the senses, the mind, the intelligence, and senses of knowledge, senses of action. Through all of them, presence of andaryami moving around and doing those things, you become aware of that. That's what he's saying here, right? So that is what and Vedam says that, right? Initially, what are we? Just a piece of flesh. That's where it begins, in the womb, right? You know, Kapila Maharshi said that Buddham or Kalalam in three nights. So we start with a piece of flesh. Just a piece of flesh in the womb of the mother. That's how we begin, right? And then everything comes out one after the other, right? And Vedam will also use the same word, Kalalam, what Kapila Maharshi has used, right? Kalalam, Kabilam has spoken about that. Then he mentioned about Budbudam, Karkandu. These are all the words, different levels of development of this piece of flesh. Kalalam, Budbudam, then Karkandu. These are different days, as days, you know, progresses, this piece of flesh inside keep developing like that, right? And then suddenly five holes comes out, the five senses, into that piece of flesh. It comes out, right? And that is what they call it as andam. By then it is becoming an egg-like form. Pindandam, Brahmandam and all that, right? And andaryami decided to get inside that. And when andaryami got inside, and andaryami said, I want to see, when he said that, these eyes came out. Two eyes came out. When andaryami got inside, and he said that he wants to see, then the two eyes came out in that piece of flesh. Right? Similarly, when he said that he wants to hear, the two ears came out. And then seeing, then hearing, and similarly sense of touch, sense of taste, sense of smell, all these things have come out like this, with andaryami entering inside, right? So when he decided to see, he wants to see, the eyes have come. And when he wanted to hear, the ears have come. When he wanted to smell, the nose has come. When he wanted to taste, the tongue has come. And when he wanted to feel the sense of touch, the skin has come. Right? So this is how the development happens within the mother's womb, right? So when this prakasham andaryami, that's that prakasham andaryami, when it has reached this stage, and when it wanted to make contact with the world outside and start making contact with the objects in this world, it is called bondage. That is called bandham or bondage. It's called bondage, right? So imagine this. You have had a good meal and you went to sleep after that, right? When you went to bed, nobody told you to have a dream. Nobody asked us to have a dream, right? Somewhere you lie down and you're having a good sleep, right? And then who makes the decision how the different dreams should come to you? You have no control on anything. You're gone, you had a good meal, you went to sleep. You're lying down and sleeping. After you have gone to sleep, the dreams have started coming one after the other. Right? And what dreams you are going to come is going to come, and when it has to come, and when it will go, you have no control over that. You are in that state, right? Completely lying down, enjoying the sleep. And in that dream state, all these dreams are coming. Sleep state, all the dreams are coming, right? Who is making decisions at that time about you, right? So, if you had the control over the dream, you could have dreamt what you wanted to dream. But that doesn't happen, isn't it? Just like, say, you get some frightening dreams. Like you are going to, say, Himalayas, and you are traveling by bus to Badrinath. When you look down from the roads, when you're going up, 15,000 feet deep down, if you look, it's so scary that if anything happens to the bus, it's finished. So many times it happened. The bus falls off from the cliff and falls to the 15,000 feet down. Nothing will be left. Only you can find the bones there. So, and you can have that experience in the dream. Such an experience, right? So, why did all this happen? Somebody inside made the decision. Not us. We were going to sleep. But somebody is making decision from inside. And when you woke up, you realize that, it was only a dream, you say. And you ignore it straight away, right? And who said that? Who decided that? We don't inquire further than that. Who made that decision to experience that dream, right? Just like you had a son or a daughter, and then they have become independent and they're doing what they want to do, right? Similarly, our real identity as Atma, Andaryami, right? From that Atma, separately from Atma, independently, guiding us in different directions in life and gets us into trouble is what the mind does. Our actual identity is that Andaryami, who is always alert and conscious. We become fallen away from that, and a force that comes inside us, which gets us through this world and engages in wrong things and all kinds of problems, it entangles us and puts us into bondage. That's called mind. That's called mind, right? So in Shastram, all these are explained very well. Very lot of discussions about it. Jnanamargam is centered around all these things. Knowing very well what is mind and what does the mind do to us and what we have to do to keep the mind under check so that it doesn't land us in trouble. That's what happens, isn't it? The mind, what is this thing called mind? I don't know what the psychology says, modern psychology, but from Shastram point of view, mind is a power that is within us which creates independence and puts us into bondage with the world in different ways, right? In the Yogava system, they call this Padartha Vasana Dardyam Bandham Ityabhidhiyate. That's what it's saying here. Padartha Vasana Dardyam Bandham Ityabhidhiyate. Vasishtha Maharshi says this to Ramachandra. Right? He says to Ramachandra, that this Andaryami inside, because he is present inside, with his help, with his presence, the mind is able to go outside. Mind is also working because of his presence. And able to see the objects in the world outside. And start thinking that they are all real. All these objects in this world are real. And getting attached to that, that is called a bondage. Andaryami has no connection with the world outside. Andaryami is not interested also. But this mind, which is getting its power from Andaryami, goes into the world, make contact with different objects in this world, and getting attached to it. That's what the mind does. That's what is called a bondage, right? So, when you are able to become free from the control of the mind, and able to remain in that prakasham, Andaryami state, chit prakasham, that's called moksha. So bondage and moksha, that is how Shastram sees that. Yeah, Shastram sees that when the Andaryami's presence, mind goes into the world and makes contact with different objects and getting attached to it, that's called the bondage. When you become free from that effect, able to become free from the influence of the mind and simply getting identified with the Andaryami inside and remaining in that state, that's called moksha. Right? Why was it said like this, in this way? Because in the form of mind, in the form of senses, in the form of sense objects, all these are nothing but a game being played by Prakriti. Game being played by Prakriti. And it is impossible to say why it has happened. Logavattu Leela Kaivalyam, says Vedavyasa Maharshi in the Brahma Sutra. Right? They look at everything and they see what is not real. Mind is not real. Senses are not real. And it's a situation where we lose our spiritual identity and become victimized by the mind, intelligence and the senses, right? So therefore, they reject all these things, and finally, mind is not there, senses are not there. What to speak about? Even the ahankaram has to go initially. From when everything has gone, then we remain purely our sarupam, chishurupam, right? And nirvikalpa sarupam, and it is there that the mind has born, in that our spiritual identity, the mind was born. So, if it is all in the Saundarya Lahari book, you will find all these things explained very much in detail, right? How these things happen. Manastvam, vyomastvam, marudasi, marud sarathi rasi, tvam apastvam bhumi, tvai parinadayam nahiparam, tvam eva swatmanam parinamaidam vishyavapusha, chidanandakaram shiva yuvadi bhavena vibhrushe. This verse is talking about that. Yeah? It is something that is happening in us, and it is a leela. That is what Vedavyas is saying. Logavattu leela kaivalyam. This logam is a leela. Leela means this power called mind has come from inside and through senses making contact with sense objects and then getting attached to it and getting bound by that. So, when we are able to become free from that, remain as pure chaitanyam, pure consciousness, right? If you are able to remain like that, when the mind comes, everything gets disturbed once the mind comes out, right? And earlier, by studying the Shastram and all, you have rejected all the objects in this world, saying that because it causes bondage, drishya padartham, everything what you see with your eyes, right? So, I am saying now, for me, you are all drishyam. I am drikha, you are all drishyam, right? Suppose I close my eyes now. When I close my eyes, thought waves comes inside me, right? And so, all that is drishyam for me, right? When everything is taken out, when everything is rejected, right? There is a coverage there still, avaranam is there. And if I get rid of that avaranam, then what I remain aloof from everything, pure chaitanyam, kevala chaitanyam, and that from chaitanyam or from andaryami, the first thing that comes out is the mind. This is the way Shastram talks about the mind. Because mind is a very difficult thing to explain, is it not? Normally we will say chitavritti. Chitavritti is the mind. Where else all the thoughts come? In the mind, isn't it? And most of the time we are in this control of this power called mind. Mind is deciding everything for us. What mind tells us, we'll go and do it. That's all. And then we have put all our faith in this mind. And Bhagavad Gita is saying, mind is a power that has come from Andaryami, and what it does is that it creates, through senses, it goes to the world outside, make contact with all the objects. Some objects it gets attached to, some objects it doesn't like it, so ragadvesham it creates, and in that way you create bondages. Ragam, dvesham, bondage, all comes from that, right? So, but mind is also, that power of the mind is also coming from the Andaryami, right? Mind is Andaryami, senses are also Andaryami. Andaryami is working through all these different agents within us. Yeah. So similarly, sense objects also is Andaryami only. I know it's a difficult concept to experience it, right? That's why Advaitam is difficult. In the Dvaitam it is easier, everything makes it a lot easier, right? So so that's what he has mentioned here, right? In that verse, manastvam vyomastvam marud asi marud saradhirasi tvam apastvam bhumi tvai parinadayam mahiparam tvam eva swatmanam parinamaidam vishvavapusha chidanandagaram shiva yuvadi bhavena bibhrishe. So this particular thing, that when one comes to realize it, that our Swarupam is Andaryami, not any of the other things, what the mind has gone and made contact with, right? And when you reject all that, Vedam goes, Tripudi goes, and you come to the Chidanandakaram, he says here, Chidanandakaram Vabushe. Chidanandakaram Shiva Yuvadi Bhavena Vibhrishe. That mandalam, that field, where one is purely in the platform of the Andaryami, that is what Jnani's realization is. They reject everything else and only accept the Andaryami as a reality. All other things are not real for them, right? So even when he is in the samadhi state, he has not got that. And afterwards, from samadhi state, he comes down and he does vyavaharam in this world. That awareness of samadhi prajna, he is still seeing it as in the same way, that the you will see this mentioned in the Bhagavadam in a nice way. If you look in the third canto, in the ninth chapter, Lord Brahma is saying there, Shashul Suruba Mahasaiva Nipida Bhedam Mohaya Bhoda Dishanaya Namaparasmi Vishul Bhavastidi Layeshu Nimitta Leela Rasayate Nam Idam Nama Idam Chakrameshwaraya. That one verse, yeah. Shashul Suruba Mahasaiva Nipida Bheda Mohaya Bhoda Dishanaya Namaparasmi Vishul Bhavastidi Layeshu Nimitta Leela Rasayate Nama Idam Chakrameshwaraya. That one verse is explaining this. Yeah. And that is what is called a rasam, rasa krida. Actually, we misunderstand many things. Rasam, for us, that Krishna's dance with the gopis, that is rasa dance ite. Rasam actually means that after self-realization, a liberated soul, how he sees this world, how he is seeing this world, that is rasam. After liberation, a self-realized soul, how he sees this creation, that is rasam, right? And then he is seeing this as rasa sarupam. Rasayade nama idam chakrameshwaraya, he says, right? In other words, it is an activity, or he does not see this world like the way we see the world. A liberated soul, when he is seeing the world after self-realization, is totally different from our vision. We see this place as a, people who are in Rajogunam will think of exploiting this as much as possible. People who are seeing the Sattvagunam, what will they do? They will be satisfied with what Krishna has given and peaceful about it and appreciate for what Krishna has given. That is the Sattvic nature. Sattvagunam means in a person, he will observe this nature and he will not exploit the nature more than, he won't take more than what he needs from the nature. Like you remember Prithu Maharaj's story, when he was milking that cow, Bhumi Devi, in the form of a cow he was milking. So what was he saying there? He was saying that you can take what you want from here. Just like when you milk the cow, you have to leave some milk for the calf as well. Suppose if you completely drain out all the milk from the calf doesn't get any milk, what will happen? That's not the way. So that is why that story, Prithu Maharaj was very careful about that. He won't allow over exploitation of the nature. What is minimum necessary for survival in this world, you are allowed to take from there. That principle is what is being spoken in that Prithu Maharaj's Leela with the Bhumi Devi, right? So, in the same way, he is saying here that basically this creation is Krishna's Leela, it is Prakriti, right? And the whole creation is like that, and apart from that, sometimes we vehicle, Krishna comes in all these different forms. Whole world is Krishna's manifestation. Krishna's different forms, the world is, right? And sometimes you, some people whom you like, some people whom you don't like, right? Tum stri, tum puman, kumara, kumari, all these things, Upanishad says, it's all you. You have come in all these different forms in front of us, and after knowing these things, that even though they all look different, separate from through, when you look through the eyes, right? When your realization comes, you realize that they are all not different. There's only one vastu here. That realization comes, right? There is a story about that. A father got made an elephant out of a nice wood, teak wood or something, and gave it to the son to play with it, right? So he's a child. Child is not bothered what kind of wood it is. The child gets on top of the elephant and play with it because it's a wooden elephant. He is enjoying it, playing with the elephant, right? He thinks it is elephant. He doesn't think it is wood. That's a child's consciousness. Child is in that state, right? And nearby, a carpenter is working on the wood. So when carpenter came and saw this child playing with the elephant, carpenter looked at the elephant, and he is looking at it not as an elephant. He is looking at it, what kind of wood it is. Is it teak wood or rosewood or some other wood? What type of wood is used for making the elephant? That's how carpenter sees the wood. So the child is seeing in the wood an elephant. The carpenter is seeing in the elephant wood. See the vision, same thing, but two different ways it is being seen, right? So, similarly, this world we are seeing now, stones, wood, and buildings, and all other kinds of things, what we have made out of it, right? The sky, the rivers, the forest, things, all these things, right? Vedam is saying that the trees are Brahman, rivers are Brahman, mountains are Brahman, space is Brahman, everything is Brahman. That's what Vedam says. You see our problem? We are seeing everything wood like the child is seeing the elephant. Child is seeing the elephant. Similarly, we are seeing everything based on its name and form. Vedam says that's all Brahman. Right? So, when we think about stones, wood and everything, we are not knowing that is Brahman. We are not able to know it is Brahman, right? So, for a realized soul, there is no stone, there is no wood, there is nothing, only Brahman, right? And from Parabrahman, Brahman what he comes from that comes the five material elements. From the material elements, so when people ask about this process of Panchikaranam, how five material elements comes out, right? So, actually there is only one element. And that element is always inside us, Antaryami. Then, if you have realized that Antaryami, then these five material elements also disappears from our awareness, from Bodham, right? And that one Antaryami inside, one element you can call it, has turned into five material elements, then it has made into 10 material elements in the form of knowledge, senses of knowledge, sense of action and all that. But reality, in reality, that one vastu only exists, Antaryami. Krishna only exists, right? So once you have realized it, then he only realizes the existence of Antaryami, nothing else, right? Otherwise, everything is separate, right? So, that's what they call it as Tripudi. Tripudi means this bondage, prakasham. So, the first step in the dhyanam process is that the changing our attention towards the source first, right? Just like first we are seeing through the eyes things, then they say that all the senses should go back to the mind where it came from. Then you go inwards further and becoming that original source, Antaryami. And that is Swayam Prakashakatvam. In other words, it can manifest. So what Krishna is saying here is this simple thing, right? When Sattvagunam develops in a person, yeah? When his senses become going back to the mind, and Vedam says so, that the five pranan, five kinds of pranan in the body, and the five senses, they all have to become purified for that to happen. After saying all these things, that means shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, all these things. And if they are all pure, if they all become purified, right, this prakasham of the Antaryami will be felt in all, their presence will be felt in all the senses, right? So that's what he is saying there. You remember in the 11th, earlier if you see, Krishna mentioned that in a very simple way. He says, Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin, he said. These are all the dwaram, the ten senses. They are all dwaram, holes, right? Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin Prakasham Upajayate. Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin Prakasham Upajayate. That's that dwaram he is talking about. Yeah. So, we have got nine dwarams, isn't it? Navadvare Purye Dehi, he says. In the Kavilam also says that. These nine holes in the body, right? Navadvare Purehi. They are all actually nothing but holes. Yeah. And so, similarly, all the cells in our body, they are also dwaram, right? Sarvatra dwaram. In fact, what we have got is a structure which is full of holes. We don't have a body as such, right? So, therefore, you know, Sankhya philosophy, Kavilamahrshi Sankhyam, they don't call this as body, they call it as holes. Because it's full of holes. They don't call it, even call this as a body. They call it as a lot of holes in there, right? So, and one who comes out through these holes is called Dwari. This is called Dwaram. And one who comes out through that is called Dwari, right? And that is how this word name Dwaraka came. One who lives in all these holes, he is Andaryami, is Dwari, and the place where Dwari lives is Dwaraka. You have to connect this with the Puranam's way of saying things, how these names have come, Dwaraka and all that. In Puranam, they will say like this, to make us understand what Dwaraka means. Dwaraka means where Dwari lives, full of holes. This body is considered to be Dwaraka, and full of holes, isn't it? Right. So he is saying, Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin. You know that verse, notice that, 11th verse, I think. Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin. Prakasham Upachayade. What does that mean? Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin. Prakasham Upachayade. Through all the holes, this Andaryami's presence is coming out. Jnanam yada tada vidya divardham sattvam ityude. When that happens, when that Andaryami's presence is coming out through all these holes, and knowledge of the self develops, you can take it that sattvagunam has increased in that person. In that person, sattvagunam has increased considerably. That's how you know that. Sarvadvareshu dehesvin prakasham upajayade. Jnanam yada tada vidya vivirdham sattva mityuda. So, through all the nine holes, there are the major holes, and there are all small holes as well, right? Through them, the five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, through them, the subtle body and the buddhi, intelligence, operating through them, and at the same time, when it is done in such a way that it is being controlled by the Andaryami from inside, that is called jnanam. That is called jnanam. And when that jnanam happens in that way, you can take it that that person is in sattvagunam. Right? So, that's an important word. But the only thing you have to understand it, in what sense it's spoken like that. Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayade jnanam yada tada vidyut vivardham sattvam ityuda. He calls it as sattvagunam. So, when sattvagunam gets stronger, you may have heard, come across this word before, there is a thing called a brahmavarchasa. Brahmavarchasa means that when a person has become very advanced in spiritual life, through knowledge and through realization, through upasana and shastram, everything, a change happens in him. And that is called brahmavarchasa. That word is used in Bhagavatam in so many places, brahmavarchasa, right? So, those who have performed a lot of austerities and penances, tapasa, right? Similarly, those have got a very good control on their senses. For them, there is an energy that comes from that. It begins from the Antaryami. This Brahma Varchasa begins from Antaryami. And at that time, it is called a Chit Shakti. In Lilitha Sahasranamam, it will say like this, Chitagni Kundasambodham Devagarya Samudyama. There is one line in the Lilitha Sahasranamam. It says, Chita Agni Kundasambodham Devagarya Samudyama. It began from there, and then through mind, through senses, and through ahankaram, it starts working, right? Same one energy that comes from there. And that is what comes as psychic energy, physical energy, and biological energy, all these things, everything comes and then becomes jatavastu, dead matter in the form of different objects in this world, right? So, when you perform penances, what happens? This energy, what has come out, you are turning it back towards the source where it came out. In all of us, that energy has come out through the body, mind, the senses into the world. Right? So, when you return it back towards the Antaryami, when you are going inwards, when it goes inwards, the Antaryami inside, where all the prakasham comes, it will give a little bit more higher illumination inside. That means the Antaryami, when our attention has pulled out from the world and it goes inwards towards Antaryami, in a natural way, what will happen is that it will create a different different situation with the person. Person is in a different state at that time. When people go and perform penances in the forest, rishis and all, you will see there has been effulgence around their face. It is shown like that, is it not? In the television and all that they will show. When they show great personalities, they will show an effulgence around their face. What does that mean? What is that effulgence means, right? What effulgence they are saying is that even Hiranyakashipu, when he performed penances in the forest, if you look at the pictures that they have drawn, you will see there, Bhagavatam says so. Bhagavatam is saying, when he came out from the forest, he was so effulgent. Who? Hiranyakashipu. After performing many years of performance of penances in the forest, when he came out from the forest, he was very effulgent, right? Now, when we see that, we don't understand where is this effulgence coming from, isn't it? We imagine about Hiranyakashipu in a different way. So, just like in the movies, they will show people with effulgence, right? So we start thinking, where is this effulgence coming from? Hiranyakashipu has got an effulgence, Ravana has got an effulgence, and so many other personalities like that. So, if you look at the Bhagavatam, if you see how Hiranyakashipu is described in the Bhagavatam, in the seventh canto, when he came out from the forest, after his penances, before Brahma comes in front of him. Brahma comes to see him, you see. And Brahma gives him a lot of this. Brahma stopped his penances. And he came out from that, right? So when he comes out from that Kanakaprabham, he's saying, like he was like a molten gold. So suddenly, how did he become so? Like gold that has been melted. That was his color. Yeah, that was his color. Oh, Hiranyakashipu. So So why does that happen? What does that refer to? Why is he saying like that? He's saying that the if you look at the third chapter in the seventh canto, verse 23, Sat kichaka valpiga saha ojo belanyuja sarva avaiva sambanyo vajra samhanano yuva. He says, vajra samhanano yuva uthida stapa hemabho vibhava suri vaithasa. That was his color. Molten gold he looked like, right? What was that? Where is that coming from? Because he is coming from his penances after performing very intense penances in the forest, right? In other words, temporarily the sattugunam came to him. Sattugunam developed inside, right? And for some people, that sattugunam can become a cause of knowledge, can lead into knowledge. For some, it will not happen, right? So, therefore, when sattugunam comes like that in a person, it should be utilized in the right way. In the right way. So, sarvadvareshu dehesmin, Krishna is saying there. Like, so, when sattugunam comes in a person, one should utilize it for spiritual life immediately. Right? What happens is the whole body becomes illuminated. In other words, you feel a weightlessness, a lightness, lighter body. You feel the body very light and it will come to body naturally. In a natural way, the body you will become very light. You won't feel body as a burden anymore. Most of us, we are stuck in the body, not knowing what to do with it. Especially when you get older, you get sick. And you don't know what to do with it, you can't get rid of it, and you won't leave it also. And that is our situation. Old age is tamogunam basically. Old age means nothing but tamogunam, nothing else. All ideas that comes in the mind is also full tamasic. Ideas will come. Tamasic ideas will come and we will act according to tamasa ideas also. That's the problem with the old age. Either we will sleep or we will go to do something. If there is some rajogunam, it will tell you to go and do something and you will go and do it. Sattugunam, there is no sign of sattugunam at all. So what he is saying here is that that weightlessness, what you feel, like your body, right, lakutvam, and that is a symptom of that presence of sattugunam. Lot of austerities, penances, and lot of upasana, sadhana or sattvagunam, effect of the japams, in this way, the body becomes very light, right? And so it is difficult. Body is Ayurvedam, other one is Vedantam, spiritual knowledge is Vedantam. Vedantam and Ayurvedam, you cannot split it actually, they are together. Vedantam and Ayurvedam are together, right? So, so Vedam, through the body when it comes, we call it as Ayurvedam. Vedic knowledge, when it comes through the body, it's called Ayurvedam, right? So, in other words, Vedam's external form is this Ayurvedam, right? And this is the same process that they use in, rishis use in the Ayurvedam also, right? So they are saying that if your body is very healthy, spiritually healthy, if the body is spiritually very healthy, then there will be a prakasham from the body. There will be a prakasham from the body. And the prakasham is there. Yanam yatha tada vidya vivarda sattvam ityuta. You will see in the in that verse. If you look at what Krishna mentions there, 11th verse, Jnanam yada tada vidyat vivardham sattvam ityuda. in that verse, 11th verse. Very, very subtle verse that is. Sarvadvareshu dehesmin. Prakasham upachayade. Jnanam yada tada vidyad vivruddham sattvamityuda. When sattvagunam builds up in a person, that knowledge of the self-realization, spiritual knowledge in him, will exhibit through the body. Spiritual realization will exhibit through the body. Jnanam yada tada vidyad vivruddham satyamityuda. So, jnana prakasham it is called. Krishna said, prakasham upajayade, jnana prakasham. So, spiritual realization, jnanam, is a prakasham. It is a kind of a, its symptom is that, a kind of lightness in the body, and a kind of, the body will give the impression to the one who is seeing him, will get the impression about it, the experience of that. Prakasham upajayade. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, you will see the same thing in Dakshinamurti Stotram also spoken, where he says, Nana Chidra Gadodarastida Mahadiva Prabha Bhaswaram Jnanam Yasidu Chakshuradi Karanam Dwara Bahispandade Jana Midi Tameva Bhandam Anubhatiyavam Samastam Jagal Tasmai Shri Gurumurte Namidam Shri Dakshinamurte. What he is saying is that the Nana Chidra Ghadodarastitam Aham Deepa Prabhabhaswaram. He is fully conscious or aware in his awareness of this whole creation, because this knowledge has been realized inside, that he is conscious of this whole creation means that it is purely Brahman. Purely Brahman, right? So, sattvagunam increases in a person, then that knowledge inside, jnanam, right, that comes as shabdadi jnanalpagatvam prakasham. Shastram says, shabdasparsha rupa rasagandham, all these things, he will have a lot more clarity on those things than us. In our present state, we also hear, we also see, we also smell, touch, taste everything, right? But when knowledge comes inside, self-realization happens, the way we perceive things through the senses changes. Even that will change, right? Everything becomes favorable for self-realization. The senses become favorable for self-realization. The mind, intelligence, everything becomes favorable, right? So, bhakti, jnanam, all these things will be understood properly only when there is sattvagunam in a person. If there is no sattvagunam in someone, there is no sattvagunam at all, and if you collect all those people to come together and you speak to them about these things, Vedantam, right? They will not be able to understand it. They will not be able to understand it. What will happen is if you tell them about it, they will understand it according to their vasana inside. They will understand it, right? Not the things what Shastram is saying. They won't understand it properly. It's not their fault. It's purely because of the absence of sattvagunam. Absence of sattvagunam, right? So, very often you will see, they will hear some things and then they will come and tell you that you said like this before. Some things you should have never said. They will say things like that. And so, the thing is this, that what Krishna is saying is, this knowledge is for experience. It's not for hearing and talking about it, right? Because to hear things properly, you need sattvagunam. And when the sattvagunam is there, only then the that shravanam will become aparoksham rather than paroksham. It will become aparoksham. So that sattvagunam, when it is increases in a person, or that person is having it, the sattvagunam, its symptom is what Krishna is calling that prakasham. Yeah? Sarvadvareshu dehesmin, what he mentioned there. Yeah? Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayade. It's a little difficult to understand because it's purely for realization it is. Prakasham upajayade. That means this, through all his body, senses, mind, everything, there's a complete change altogether. Antaryami is coming out through it more. And Antaryami's presence inside is felt by him so strongly that he is experienced, and his presence is felt through the senses, through the mind, through the intelligence, everywhere. And jnanam yada tada vidya divardham sattvam ityuda, Krishna says that. Yeah. So, and what the problem is that now when we hear things, first thing what happens, our mind will interpret it. Is it not? When this happens, there won't be any more interpretation from the mind. The knowledge what is spoken and Krishna has spoken will go straight into your heart without being interpreted by the mind. Whatever we receive now from when we hear lectures or satsangam or anything, first what you do, your mind will take control of it. And the mind will give an interpretation of that, and that's what you've got. You see? What the mind has interpreted, your mind, according to your vasana, will interpret whatever you are hearing, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. And that interpretation is what you have got. But here, when the prakasha upajayade means, when sattvagunam increases, that's a benefit. This interpretation of the mind will stop. Now, because of rajogunam, tamogunam, mind will get involved first, and you will start interpreting things. When sattvagunam increases in a person, the mind jumps in and interpreting things will stop. That means the message will go straight into the heart. Straight into the heart, right? So, it means you become really alert and vigilant of the knowledge, not like the way it is interpreted by the mind, right? So, and that is what is called the jagrata. Jagrata, right? So, because there is no blockage in between. Mind is a blockage. Mind comes in and starts interpreting things, then it's gone. It becomes contaminated, polluted, right? So therefore, Krishna's message is, by all means, increase the sattvagunam as much as possible. And through these processes of self-realization and cultivation of knowledge, bhakti, whichever process you follow, sattvagunam must come first. Even in bhakti, you can see bhakti also if you observe. You remember bhakti divided into three. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. In the Kapilam, it is spoken like that, is it not? Yeah. Why is it said like that? Because person in tamogunam and his bhakti will be different with the person in sattvagunam and his bhakti. So different, completely different. Similarly, one in sattvagunam, his bhakti is different. Kapila Maharshi told Devahuti Devi that these three kinds of devotees are there in sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. So all those three devotees they are devotees, but they are different types they are. The one in tamogunam will be, he has his own agenda and he will act in one way. The one in rajogunam wants wealth, opulences and power, position, recognition, followers, money, all these kind of things. That's the one in rajogunam. So his spiritual life will be centered around those things. That's a devotee in rajogunam. Devotee in sattvagunam, he knows that he has to do this because it is his duty. It means he has some impact of knowledge in him. So if you have learned, Krishna is saying, how to take shelter of sattvagunam and live in this world, and all good, proper sadhana happens in sattvagunam, right? Therefore, one should live according to in a way, such a way that Sattugunam builds up in a person. Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam. These are all symptoms of Sattugunam, right? And similarly, Sadhu Sangam, or you can say Satsangam. And somehow or the other, you have to spend all your time in spiritual activities, right? And if you are living in Sattugunam, at least the benefit is, when you die, where you are going to go, you don't have to be fearful about that, if you die in Sattugunam. That's the benefit. At least when death comes, you don't have to be fearful about where you are going. Yeah. If these three gunam, if you study very well, it can give you a complete control or complete knowledge of how to live in this world, these three modes of nature. Sattvam, Rajasya, Tamasya, right? You can see throughout the Bhagavad Gita it is there, is it not? What you can do is, like Arjuna asked the question, isn't it? To Krishna, he said to him that when he spoke about it, Krishna, Arjuna says, Athagena prayuktena papam charati purusha anichannabhi varshnaya baladivan yojida. What a beautiful verse that is. Just see what Arjuna is saying. Arjuna is saying there that we don't want to do wrong things, sinful things in this world, right? But you can look at the politicians and these big leaders in this world. They're completely confused about it, yeah? From inside them, there is some force pushing them to do it. Is it not? If you look at that, the way things are happening with the war and all that, if you observe them carefully, this is what Arjuna is saying here. Arjuna is saying the same thing. Anichannabhi athakena prayuktoyam. Krishna says to Krishna, I don't understand this. Pabam charadi purusha. What is forcing me to do something which I don't want to do? Why? Anichannabhi varshnaya beladivan yojida. Forcefully something from me inside is pushing me to do it. Where is that coming from? So that is when Krishna said, kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samulbhavam. Rajogunam creates that. If you observe all these big leaders who are now arguing, fighting each other, what to do with the war in Iran, and you look at their nature, you can see this rajogunam so strongly in them. Rajoguna samudbhava, Krishna is saying that. And that turns into, one minute they'll say one thing, the next moment you'll say exactly opposite what he said the day before. And nobody knows what is the right thing also. And they are thrown between this kamam, krodham, in this way, back and forth, right? So Krishna is saying there, if rajogunam comes in a person, he can only behave like that. He can't do anything about it. No point in blaming anybody in this. Rajogunam is responsible for that. So Krishna's point is, if you develop sattvagunam, you'll be able to see things clearly, rather than affected by the rajogunam. So that is, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, that it is that rajogunam in you, pushing you to do things which even you don't want to do. You don't want to do it, but it is pushing you to do it. That's what it is saying here. Isn't it? Anichanavi varshneya beladivani yochida. The power inside comes out. In other words, it is not Arjuna's making decision. The modes of nature in him is making the decision. Rajogunam. Same thing with these leaders also. They are all victims of that. They are not able to do anything about it. Yeah? Kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samilbhava. And what did Krishna say about that? Maha ashanam, maha papma. Vidhyedam iha vairinam. He says that this rajogunam, what it does is, maha ashanam, it is very hungry. It wants to eat a lot. Wants more, right? And then it turns into wrath, maha papma, anger. And then vidhyedam iha vairinam. So look at modes of nature, what Krishna has spoken, and look into the world and you see how helpless everybody is. People with the rajogunam, they will act in a particular way. You can't do anything about it. Yeah. So it's all due to rajogunam, right? And so he says there that so that's what he's saying here, which is this verse. Yeah. Urdhvam gacchandi sattvastha madhye tishtandi rajasa jhaganya gunavrtistha adho gacchandi tamasa. Right. So in that verse he says, if you die in sattvagunam, it means that you have got a ticket for higher planets already, more or less. Yeah. At the time of death, if you die in sattvagunam, it's more or less certain that you will go up to the higher planets, right? So if there is no sattvagunam, if there is sattvagunam, there is a chance that the time of death, self-realization can happen, right? There is so many different ways things happen at the time of death, right? Krishna's point is, if you cultivate sattvagunam, or sattvagunam prabuddham, what he mentions there, isn't it? Prabuddham, he used to use the word there. Yada sattve pravardhedu. 15th verse. Yada sattve pravardhedu. So sattvagunam, if it increases considerably, right? It is possible, he says, at the time of death, even some higher personalities, devadas, they could come and give you instructions at the time of death, of self-realization. Upadesha can be given at that time, right? And that is why in Upanishads there is so many stories like that, about that. There's a story of Jabali and Satyagama. Satyagama went to the ashram of the Rishi and he's staying there. And he was given Upadesham by different people. A big hen gave him from the forest. Agni gives for instructions to him. All because of he had sattvagunam. You know what the Rishi did to him? Rishi told him, you take all the cows and go to the forest. Look after them. And due to association with the cows and living in the forest for a long time, and he said, when I tell you to come back, only then you come back, he said to him. And living in the forest, in the association of the cows, looking after them, and living in that atmosphere itself improved his sattvagunam to such a level that he had a lot of spiritual knowledge he received from different entities in the forest. Satyagama gets that. Yeah. And then when he comes back to the Rishi, after many, many months he spent in the forest, and then he comes back one day. He felt one cow tells him to go back to the ashram and he comes back to him, right? So sattvagunam has a capacity to do such things. And if there is a lot of sattvagunam, even in satsangam, if you don't understand Bhagavad Gita, from somewhere that knowledge will come out from inside, right? So basically Krishna said, take shelter of sattvagunam. Right? Take shelter of sattvagunam. So, and then he mentioned the problem with rajogunam and tamogunam. If rajogunam increases, greed will develop. That's the immediate effect of rajogunam. Greed. One more. This thing. Right? And similarly, this Krishna mentions in another way in the 15th chapter, if you look, how he puts it. He says about 15th chapter, 13th verse, if you look, he's talking about the same thing. In 15th chapter, So in 16th chapter, 13th verse. Idam adhyam ayalabdham, idam prapse manorasam, idam asti idamami bhavishyati punardhanam. While talking about the divine demonic nature, he says the same thing. Yeah. And then, asau maya hada shatru, hanishe chabaranabi, ishwaroham, aham bhogi, siddhoham bhalavan sukhi. Adhyobi janavanasmi, konyosi sadrshau maya, yakshe dasyami modisha, iti ajnana vimohidaha. All those verses is referring to that. Yeah. Idam atstidam api me bhavishyati punardhanam. That is rajogunam. He has made a lot of money and then not satisfied. Still wants more. Yeah. So he is thinking always, I have so much in my bank, I want to increase that deposit more. Right. So and all the time his mind is busy with going through the assets, properties, and all kinds of things, isn't it? Different investments, stocks, shares, gold, and all ways people invest money. You can see that madness in many places, right? And what does it mean, all, at the end, right? They're just numbers, that's all. You can't take one with you when you go leave this place. But whole life is wasted in that way. That's a power of rajogunam in him, right? And then with all the wealth problems, killing each other and threatening each other, all those things, right? This is all Krishna is saying, that problem of the rajogunam. Kama yesha, krotha yesha, rajoguna samudbhava. He mentioned that in the beginning, Bhagavad Gita, right? Kamam krotham, where did they come? Kamam krotham, when rajogunam increases in a person, these two things will be there. Krishna is talking about us. Don't have to get confused about it. This is what we have done in our life, is it not? So, and we are still doing it. And we will say, Krishna can say all these things, I have to look after myself. This is our way of thinking. Right? So, this rajogunam creates desires inside us, right? And even if things what we don't need, we will get attached to it and get attracted to it, and we will run after that. Even things you don't need to live in this world, right? And you will also notice people, without any use of things, they'll keep buying things and fill up the house with all kinds of useless things. They won't use it. They'll just buy it and keep it. They feel happy. They got it. Right? So, and many people will give you sometimes different things. They don't know what to do with it. They keep it, give it to you. Right? So, this is all a part of this consumer industry, consumer culture, you can say like that. Right? Continuously accumulating things. That's what he's saying. Kama yesha, krotha yesha, rajoguna samulbhava. Idam astidam, idam adhya maya labdham, idam prapse manoratham, idam astidam abhime bhavishyadi punardhanam. Basically, rajogunam, it is like that. And lobha. Then people say that gold is a better investment now than investing in properties. So old people, 80, 85 year old, they are thinking how to switch from property to gold. They have invested a lot of money in the property first. And now suddenly the situation changed in the world. Gold prices have started going up much faster than the property prices are not going up as much as. So they are thinking day and night how to switch from property to gold. And there are advisors for that, how to do that. Yeah. So gold, from Shastram, it is considered to be just a waste. Right? Ayurvedam at least uses it for medicine purposes, the gold, right? And for certain treatment, you require gold. They use gold. They rub gold and make powder from that, right? So, that is the reason why gold is sometimes glorified in the Shastram, because it's used as a medicine in Ayurvedam, not for any other reason, right? So, um, because they found some benefit of using gold for some medicines. That's what they have spoken, right? And to feel proud that I got so much gold and not knowing what to do with it, but feeling happiness from that, feeling shelter of gold, right? Vinoba Bhave, he spoke about it very nicely. He said that they, for the sake of the gold, they start fighting. And he said that one reason why the foreigners came to India is because of this gold. They got attracted to that. And that ended up in the destruction of the temples and so many other places because of accumulating gold. If there was no gold, they wouldn't have come. They wouldn't have done what they did. They fought so many wars, destroyed so many temples, and did so much harm to the society, right? So all this has happened because of the gold. Similarly, pearls. What is pearl? You have to go right deep into the sea to get it from there, right? It is actually the spit from a living entity at the bottom, right? And we'll bring that, and then pearls and this gold and everything, we make different forms and shapes and hang it up in all our body in different places, right? To make us beautiful, to look, right? We make holes in all our body and put it through that and hang them up, right? All these things came from their lobha, right? So, in a culture, all these things are a part of that, right? Not only that, apart from that, when you have a lot of gold, you feel proud about it, a lot of wealth from that. So then you are particular about, I want the jewels like this, jewelry, and that's all coming from that. And then fear from the thieves, whether they will steal all that from you, right? So then you've got the banks and the lockers, you go and keep it there, and then the bank goes bust one day, and then you feel into anxiety again about that, right? So, or sometimes bank gets broken in. And then there's always a fear, is it safe in the bank either, right? That is why Vritrasura said this in the Vritrasudhi, if you look in the 6th canto, in the 11th chapter, he talks about that. What Vritra has to say about it. He says, Trivargi Gayasam, that is 6.11.23, Trivargi Gayasa Vighatam Asmat, Padir Vithate Purushasya Shakre, Tadonu Meyo Bhagaval Prasadam, Yo Durlapo Aginchana Gocharo Nye. That's what he is talking about. Yeah? He is saying that, for a first-class devotee, Krishna won't give him anything, right? Because if you give that to him, Trivargi Gayasa Vikhatam, right? Whatever the opulences of this world, if won't give it to him, because a lot of distress will come from that for him, for the devotee, right? For example, wealth is concerned. If somebody has more wealth than you, then you become envious. And then you become, dvesham comes from that. So, because of this wealth only, Bharata Bhumi was invaded by the foreign powers at different times because of the wealth. Right? And rishis were able to live peacefully in this world only because of they didn't have any wealth. That was their benefit they had, right? So, you can see the problem. Temples accumulated wealth, a lot of wealth, and they don't know what to do with that wealth. Even now it is the same situation, right? Padmanabha Swami Temple, because this is what I know about it, that they had so much wealth. They are saying about 15-20 billion pounds of worth of gold and jewelry is underneath the deity. This was not known to the world outside, because when the kings owned the temple, they managed to keep it very confidential. It was stored there. In them days, royal families were marrying each other. So when royal family members, when they marry each other, they will give a lot of wealth in gift when the marriage happens due to their relationships, right? Because they had a lot of wealth. So this Travancore royal family, they had a lot of wealth like this. And it was stored underneath the deity in three different rooms. Lockers, they call it A, B, C and all. It is written like that now, right? So, and this was not known before, but then some people brought up this issue. You should open and find out what it is. The royal family knew about this. They eventually they had to reveal it because the temple was taken out of their hands for some time. So they have to reveal how much wealth was inside that. And then what happened? The news spread everywhere. And then they are frightened of the terrorism. And now there is so much security there, people all the time, to protect this wealth. Not protecting temple, but protecting this wealth, right? So, what is the reason? Reason is this, that Padmanabha Swami wanted to show his wealth to the world, that this has got here, right? And similarly, so many other temples, Somnath was attacked in the same way, so many times, because of the wealth. Tirupati has the same problem. And so many other temples have the same problem, right? So, all because of the wealth, gold, because of gold, right? So, Pakanar gave a name to this gold, the one who kills everybody. It's cause of killing others, right? And due to that, there is no peace inside. And you can see very often women put the jewelry chain on the neck and somebody comes and snatches it and runs away, right? So, you can't even sleep at night when you have a lot of gold at home, yeah? So, so because you're wearing a lot of gold doesn't mean you will develop bhakti or jnanam or shandi, right? So, but because madam will come from that, pride will come from that, right? So, and when you lose that, then there is distress, right? And lot of times families, because of vanity, they feel that they need so much gold during marriage times and all that, yeah? So, okay, we'll have a break then.
ചേതോദർപ്പണമാർജനം വോമഹ ദാവാഗ്നി നിർവാപണം ശ്രേയക്കൈതവ ചന്ദ്രികാ വിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുധിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാ സുബനം വരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാംനാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിയമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാല ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാവി ദുർദൈവമേതൃശമിഹാജനി നാനുരാഗാഹം തൃണാരഭീഷുനീചേന തരോരഭീ സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരി നഥനം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരേ ഭവതാൽ ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഹിത്വൈ അയി നന്ദതനൂജകിങ്കരം പതിതാ മാം ക്ഷമേ ഭവാംബുധോ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജ സ്ഥിരതൂളി സദശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗലദശുധാരയാ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുളകേർനിജിതം കഥാവഭൂത്തവന്നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി ഇദം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗത്സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം വിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാതാവാദോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസുനേവനാപരാ ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ.
സോ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ദി വെൻ സത്വഗുണം ഡെവലപ്സ് ഇൻ എ പേഴ്സൺ വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻസ് സർവദ്വാരേഷു ദേഹേസ്മിൻ പ്രകാശം ഉപജായതേ ജ്ഞാനം യഥാ തഥാ വിദ്യാ ദ്വിവൃദ്ധം സത്വമിത്യുത. സൈസ് ഇൻ ഓൾ സെൻസസ് ഓൾ ഓവർ ദ ബോഡി
that presence of Antaryami will be noticed. Krishna's presence, right? And the knowledge also, same way. When these things are happening in someone, you can take it that that person is in Sattvagunam. That's a symptom of Sattvagunam. He's saying that here. Yeah? So, the Rajogunam he mentioned there, Lobham. 12th verse, 13th verse. Lobha pravarti arambham karmana ashamaspraha rajasedani jayande vivurdhe bharadarshabha. He spoke about Lobham, strongly about that. Yeah. So, you can see the problem that the in the modern world, people live in this world just to work. Not work to live, but living to work. It has become the philosophy now. To live in this world to work. Morning to night, right? And due to this, what happens? The health of the people also goes. When you work so much, so many hours every day, over a period of time, the wealth is, health is gone. Yeah? And it is difficult for an individual to fight against all these things because the whole culture of the society has become like that. Individual has very difficult situation to come out of this whole entanglement. Yeah? So it is possible provided you have a spiritual leadership in a country where there is some spiritual knowledge, and if the whole country unite together under a spiritual leadership, only this can happen, not otherwise. This cannot change. Yeah. So to think that just to work hard in this world is a human life meant for, if it has come to that understanding, that shows that there's something seriously wrong with that society. Yeah. So it is necessary to live in this world, but and maintaining family life and all that, bhakti is necessary, social life is necessary, but problem today is that there's no time for anything. Work, 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 work. Right? So just like slaves. And no end to the work. No end to the work, right? Krishna is saying this is nothing but Rajogunam. It is nothing but Rajogunam. That's what he said there, isn't it? Rajasedani jayande. From Rajogunam comes all these habits, right? And Rajasi. Rajasedani jayande, he says. Enslaved by Rajas. Therefore, the thing is, if you have perfect Sattvagunam in a person, he will give up work. That's the thing. If somebody has proper good Sattvagunam in him, he will give up work, right? And if you have Rajogunam with Sattvagunam, then he will do the things what is necessary. He will do things like that, right? If you tell them to do something, and if that habit, Rajogunam with Sattvagunam, if it comes to a person who has a leadership power, right, and in that case, that country with such a leadership will be able to make decisions in that way. Individually one cannot do anything in that situation, right? In the forest, elephants go in groups. But one lion can frighten the whole elephants. All the elephants. One lion can frighten them. And this principle that living in this world is for to work and not for working for living in this world, that changed, right? And when you have a body, right, and some work has to be done, that is the nature of this body. And material nature has also given us certain timing for that to work, right? Night time meant to sleep, and daytime a certain amount of hours to work, right? And that is why Krishna mentioned that before. Yuktahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta sapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukaha. In the 6th chapter, I think he mentions that. Yuktahara viharasya, what is necessary to be done has to be done. But not to make that as the priority in life, working whole day and night. That's not yuktahara viharasya. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Yukta sapnava bhavadasya yoga bhavadi dukha. Krishna says yogam is not possible when you don't follow these rules. So, in modern society, what the way it has happened is that people think that they have to work not for their life only, children, grandchildren, and to think that you have to accumulate for their life in this world in this way. So if you have to have this culture to stay, Sanayadana Dharma, that samskaram to stay, if everybody has to work like this day and night, that samskaram won't stay. It will go. It will disappear. When everybody in the whole country is busy with this work principle, philosophy, work, philosophy, how can Sanayadana Dharma stay in that culture, right? What happens is day and night people are working. A lot of people are getting sick because of that, right? And therefore all kinds of special hospitals are coming up everywhere. Super speciality hospitals. For different diseases, different types of hospitals, and more doctors, and need of more medicines and factories to manufacture these medicines. What does that show? It shows that the country is sick. That's why you need so much medicines and so many doctors and so many hospitals. Everything is coming from that. Yeah. So, day and night working like that. Men are finished by 40, 45 year old. All energy is over. Life is finished for them, right? And they are telling us what should we do everyday basis, Nitya Anushtanam, they call it. Yeah? In order to perform Nitya Anushtanam, Sandhya Vandanam, what will you say to them? Because there are three Sandhya. They are not at home. They are in the factory or in the office. So what Sandhya Vandanam can they do when it is like this, right? And so, Rajogunam, with some Sattugunam is there, then what will happen is that at least you will think about all these things and stand up for that, right? And so, this is the problem with Rajogunam. You will not be able to come out of it from karma. That's what the problem it is, right? So that's what he's saying there. Karmana ashamaspruha, he says. Lobha pravrti arambham. Karmana ashamaspruha. Rajasedani jayanda vivrde bharadarshabha. So, ashamaspruha means that no shamam, no control over that, no end to it. For what? For work, sense gratification, and attachment to things like that. All this is not helpful for spiritual life with all this inside us. Yeah? So that's what Krishna is saying there. And then he said that once you enter into that, karmana ashamaspraha rajasedani jayande. It's like a room where you have entered. And once you enter inside, the door gets closed completely, and then the door will disappear, and you can't come out from that room. And so that's what he's saying here. Lobham pravrti manusha arambham karmana ashamaspriha rajasedani jayande. Interesting thing is, you see that words what Krishna says there. Lobham pravrti arambham means that first of all he will do swadharmam, not only swadharmam, right? he will find a new work to do. Finding out new avenues where he can work hard. That Rajogunam is pushing him to do that, you see. This is a society today. World is like that. And we are trying to make pure devotees out of them. Can you imagine? This is the population is this. And you are expecting spiritual life for these people. What can you do with them? And not only that, he says, arambha. Arambha means, what he is saying there is, pravritti arambha means, you will find out new projects all the time. New projects all the time. And even in spiritual field. This is what's happening. Even in spiritual field, new projects are always coming out, right? New projects. Then what will they do? Ashamaha. And in the olden days, a householder, he had a few sons and daughters. The daughters were all married and sons have gone doing some work, whatever they were doing, right? And he was able to retire at a certain age, withdraw from this world, and at least a few years before leaving this world, he had time for some spiritual practices. Yeah? And now, if you look at the situation, that retirement doesn't happen easily. Even after retirement, you are running after this family life and children, grandchildren like that, caught up in that, unable to come out of that, right? So, that's what he's saying here. Lobham pravritti arambha, karmana ashamaspriha, right? Once he enters into pravritti, karmam, then no end to it, right? New projects are coming up all the time. And we are all the products of that. Yeah. So, mainly the idea behind, even in the spiritual field also you will see this. If I have loads of followers, right, how to utilize them, all these followers. 50,000, 60,000, they say, what does it mean? What does it mean, all this? And there's loads of people who are busy with these things, right? So, the leaders also knows these things. You're not talking about spiritual field now, not about material life, you write it off. There's nothing you can do about it. Even after coming to spiritual field, they're thinking of this, how to have as many followers as possible, and how to utilize them, right? And that's the thought that comes into their mind first thing, right? And from that, a lot of byproducts will come. People come out of that. In this way, this samsaram will continue. That is samsaram. Karmam, unlimited karmam, right? Going on like this. And we are thinking that we are all very clever. But prakriti, and we think that he has given an opportunity, I have utilized it. So, this people talk about opportunity. I got that opportunity and I have taken full advantage of that. People will say, like, this opportunity is like, you know, when you catch the mice and rats, you put a box there to get you inside. In the same way, it's like a cage. This opportunity, called so-called opportunity, right? So, only when you get involved in that, you realize that the door has disappeared. You can't get out of it, right? So, that is what he is saying here. Rajasyedani jayande vivurdhaya bharadarshabha, he says to Arjuna. Arjuna, that is the nature of that, he says. And you can see all these things within our own life, in our own nature. How we get pulled into different things and get caught up in that, right? So, that's what's called a samsaram. Sattva-gunam, free you from bondage. That's the nature of sattva-gunam. It makes you free from all bindings in this world. Whereas rajo-gunam binds you more in the world. That's very important. Sattva-gunam makes you more and more free from the entanglements in this world. Rajogunam binds you more and more into this world, right? So then what he says about the tamogunam, you see there, aprakasho apravrtischa pramado mohamevacha tamasyedani jayande vivrde kurunandana.
So understanding these three modes of nature gives you an insight to look at ourselves and see where we stand in all these things, how much we are implicated in this world.
So that's what he's saying there, that tamogunam, he says, aprakasho hi apravrtischa, means that whatever you tell them, they won't understand it. That's a big problem. You tell them anything, it just doesn't get in, right? Because the light is not there inside, right? It's not even a tube light, it's a power cut completely. Then its power supply is gone completely inside, right? This is called in Shastram Uttamangam, head, right? It is only for beauty purpose, it's there, but it's not working. It's there, head is there, but it's not working. Just like a decoration, it is there, Uttamangam. So much darkness inside, right? And if they do understand anything, it's all will be upside down. Everything, right? Apravrtischa. Apravrtischa means, what he's meant to do, he won't do it. What he's supposed to do, he won't do it, right? And if you tell people in tamogunam, you don't have to do anything about it. They are very happy, you know. That's the nature of tamogunam. If you tell them, oh, you don't have to do anything, just leave it. He says, they are very happy. I don't have to do anything. Tamogunam. So, but they'll find enough time to watch TV or watch other things, to engage in some kind of frivolous things like that. So, pramadam. Yeah. And everything that is against spiritual life, that kinds of activities, they will, mind will be busy with that. Right? And unnecessary things, they'll hear about it and think about it and see that and think gossiping about that, they will live in this world, right? And they'll spend their time talking about all kinds of useless things, right? All these are symptoms of tamogunam. Tamogunam. Jalpanam. Yeah. So that's what it is. Aprakasho apravrtischa pramado mohamevacha. Moham means brahmam, vibhrandi. And then he says that the tamasyedani jayande. When tamogunam is present in a person, all these things happen. And you can see that, you know, in this world, so many things, isn't it? The cinema actors, you've seen them. Behind them, there'll be a lot of his fans, they call it. They'll be following them, cinema actors. Similarly, sports people, personalities, there'll be a lot of fans for this, fans for that. They're all fans, they call it. Fans. This football club, that football club, cricket club, fans for all that, right? Similarly, politicians also. A lot of people behind that. You see, it's common, of course. It's not so much here like that because of the different reasons. But in India, you see these politicians have got followers, a group of them with them all the time. Similarly, cinema stars. Similarly, sports personalities. All of them have these followers, right? And so, some attraction in them for the followers, right? And none of them is spiritual. These followers who follow them, none of them is spiritual, right? According to their tamogunam, they will respond to that. And similarly, so according to tamogunam, you will get attracted to these different types of people. Cinema stars, sports stars, politicians, and you become their follower and go along with it, whatever they say and whatever they do. Similarly, those who are in Rajogunam, they will get attracted to those who are in the Rajogunam, and their attraction will be towards that, right? So, according to the gunam what you have, you will get the attraction towards the different people. Tamogunam accordingly. And similarly, when you have Sattogunam, you will get attraction towards those personalities, right? So, according to the gunam only, your attraction also for somebody. When there is sattvagunam, you will get attracted to people in sattvagunam. When there is rajogunam, you will get attracted to people in rajogunam. When you have tamogunam, you will get attracted to people in tamogunam. Krishna is saying that, right? Tamogunam has got this problem, moham, right? Very easily carried away by the pulls from different people. Not much thinking, not goal in life, right? If you tell them, ask them, where are you going? Oh, I'm going towards the east, they'll say, right? But he'll be walking towards the west. That's how his situation is, right? And he wants to go to the north. This is his situation. Actually, he wants to go to the north. But if you ask him, where are you going? He says, I'm going towards the east. But what is happening is, he's walking to the west. So this kind of situation, right? No proper goal, no direction, nothing in life, right? In this way, a kind of lifestyle. And this mind is full of confusions, chitta vibhrandi, different thought waves inside, right? And a completely, you can say, disturbed mind, dissipated mind, and or you can say like this, a restless mind, yeah, and practically no direction in life, also no goal, in this way, living in this world all the time, right? Srimad Bhagavatam mentions about that, yeah. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya ubadrida. That's that tamogunam. Bhagavatam. Yeah. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya ubadrida. That verse is referring to that. Yeah. So, buddhi never works, right? Even if he wants to do something at a particular time, he won't be able to get it done, right? And various kinds of diseases comes to the body. All these are spoken about, he is saying here, tamasedani jayande vivruddhe kurunandana. And then after saying that, again Krishna comes back to sattvagunam. He's going to talk about that. Yeah. So, that's the next verse. We mentioned that before. So, these three verses, yada sattve pravruddhedu pralayam yadi deha vritta tad uttama vidam loka amalan pratipadyate. He mentioned those three verses to tell us about the time of death, what happens in three different modes if you die. In sattvagunam, if you, at the time of death, if there is sattvagunam in a person, obviously he will go up to higher levels. If it is in rajogunam, if he dies, he will take birth in a society where work is more important. Everybody is working very hard. We will take birth in that society. And if it is tamogunam, then he will take birth in full ignorance. In full ignorance. And then he said that, karmana sukhrudasyahu satyam nirmalam phalam rajasastu phalam dukkham ajnanam tamasa phalam. If you have these three different modes, what will be the result from that is that satyam satkarmam will lead to satyam nirmalam. These are nature of the sattvagunam, satyam and nirmalam. Nirmalam means pure. It is not causing any bondage inside. It is not creating any vasana inside. That's what it means. Rajogunam means dukkham. Distress will come from work, philosophy. And tamogunam means avidya, ajnanam. Very difficult to come out of that. Krishna is saying that. Yeah. After saying that, he says that at least, conclusion he says, if you want the knowledge, spiritual knowledge, not theoretical knowledge, But in realization level, if you want to have that, improve sattvagunam. Krishna says, sattval sanjayate jnanam. Yeah. Sattvagunam, as it increases, jnanam will come. Knowledge will start working inside. Not theoretical knowledge, learning the verses and the translation and purport, not that way. The knowledge starts working for us, within us, right? There are examples of that in the history, how things were happening in that way, yeah? So, for Yamunacharya's famous story, he was brought into spiritual life through food. He was brought inside, right? So, there was a famous devotee, Alavandar. Alavandar, he has got half of the kingdom, was involved in a debate like that, yeah. And the king forgotten about the role of his role of Bhakti Margam. He has come from a big parampara, but unfortunately lost everything. And then one great personality, one great devotee, it's a well-known story, he decided to bring this king back into spiritual life again. So what he used to do, he couldn't talk to the king because of his position was like that. So he used to bring a particular vegetable for him and give it to the cook. And the cook used to make the preparation, give it to the king. Regularly when he was delivering that and the king was having it, king was enjoying it. And that vegetable alone created sattvagunam in him over a period of time. So one day he stopped supplying that. So the king said, why am I not having that vegetable anymore? So the cook in the kitchen told him that the person who brings it has not come. He didn't bring the vegetable, he said. So king said, I want to see him when he comes next time. And that's the time he got the opportunity to see the king. Otherwise it was difficult to see the king. So the person who brought the vegetable, he got an opportunity to see the king. And then he spoke to the king about his ancestry, everything. And so, when he got that, he reminded the king what a great parampara he was born and what he has lost in his life. After hearing from this person who came to see, tell him all these things, right, the king did not understand everything what he said to him. So the person told him that you come with me, we will go walking. And while walking, he started reciting Bhagavad Gita from first verse onwards, Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra, he began, right? By the time he got there to the destination, the complete recitation of the Bhagavad Gita was done completely, right? And he, when he got there and he heard Bhagavad Gita, it had its effect on him after he heard Bhagavad Gita, right? So, then he is asking this person who come, that you give me the message of the Bhagavad Gita properly, let me understand. And so all these days he struggled very hard to get an audience with the king by bringing the vegetable daily, which he got it. So, so to tell us that the sattvagunam, how through aharam, to the food, it has changed like that. What it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad also, ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi. So, if aharam, food is good, the proper good food, in the sense that it will, the sattvagunam will build up in a person. There is a saying that if you want to know a person, his nature, all you have to do is to go to his kitchen and you look at the kitchen and you will know what habits he has got, what kind of sattvagunam, rajagunam or tamagunam he has got. His habits you can straight away identify by going into the kitchen. Right? So, in the Arsha Sampradaya, in the Sanatana Dharma, annam, food, is the most important thing. Right? And therefore in the olden time, nowadays they build houses with a temple room in the house. Traditionally, there was no temple rooms. Kitchen was the temple. Kitchen was the temple, right? Annam is Brahman in its gross form. right? And therefore Shruti says like that, everything was centered around the kitchen. Kitchen is the main temple room in the house, right? So, and if proper food goes inside, Atmajnanam, knowledge of the self, will happen. So, from rain, Aushadhi has come, and Aushadhi comes Vanaspati, and from that comes Annam. From Annam is Aushadham, and Upanishad says so. From the rain comes Aushadhi, plants, and from the plants comes Vanaspati, and from there Annam, and Annam comes Aushadham, and Annam is Sarvaushadham. Taittiriya Upanishad, Annena Prana Pranena Velam, Belena Tapaha, Tapasa Shraddha, Shraddhaya Manisha, Manisha Mana, Manaha Shanti. One after the other, from one to another, it comes, right? So what Upanishad is saying is, Annena Pranan, Pranan comes from Annam, from Pranan comes Belam, from Belam comes Tapasa, and from Tapasa comes Shraddha, from Shraddha comes Buddhi, Manisha. Manisha ha mana. From that comes mind. From mind comes shanti. So this is the sequence in which it happens. You can see in Sanatana Dharma, they have never spoken about belief, vishwasam. They give importance to Shraddha. Shraddha is more important. Belief, you can have anything what you want to believe. That's a different thing. But Shraddha is more important. Shraddha is more important than belief. That's what Krishna is going to say later about it, right? So, and if you give annam to somebody, then from that pranan comes, belam comes, tapasya comes, mayatha comes, and from that capacity for alpavijayam, self-realization, and in that way able to get liberated, jivanmukta stage. That potential is in that, right? Whether he is doing it or not, that's another thing, right? Therefore, annam is important. Annam. If annam is pure, then all our dhadu in the body gets purified. Means that the flesh, the fat, and everything gets purified. And sattugunam will be there. Sattugunam, if sattugunam grows up in a person, the capacity for self-realization increases. In other words, he'll be able to, his mind will be focused on self-realization all the time. He won't get attracted to anything else in this world, right? Sattva abhivruddhi. And if sattvagunam builds up in a person, his power for upasana increases, sadhana. He'll be able to do very good sadhana, upasana shakti will increase, right? And when sattvagunam increases in a person, he will look inwards. Andarmukhatvam will increase in a person, right? Andarmukhatvam is not manojavam. Manojavam means that if you take andarmukhatvam means, suppose if you give attention to all the chittavritti comes in the mind, that is not enough. That is not andarmukhatvam. Andarmukhatvam means that the aham vritti, then andaryami's presence inside, able to fall your attention on that, right? In other words, that movement of the ahangaram inside, chijjada grandhi's movement, and where ahangaram is originating from, all these things you will become more conscious of that. The way ahangaram builds up inside, ahangaram comes out, chijjada grandhi, which is ahangaram, and similarly that aham vritti, how it is operating inside, that means this awareness that I am, this aham, what Krishna is going to talk about that aham a lot, right? Aham vritti is mulasthanam. You'll realize that ahangaram, where it's coming from, that chitshakti, those things, that ahangaram, where ahangaram is originating from, its source, where it's coming from, that will be recognized easily when sattvagunam is very strong in a person. Yeah? So when you have sattvagunam, you can see all those things. And that is what he is saying here. Sattval sanjayade jnanam. When Krishna is saying that, you see, sattval sanjayade jnanam. means that so normally we say if you chant Gayatri Mantram, intelligence will get better. That's the idea behind it, isn't it? When you chant Gayatri, the idea behind that is to purify the intelligence. Dhimahi. Dhi means intelligence. So in order to purify the dhi, intelligence, you're chanting the Gayatri, right? Actually, good buddhi means satogunam. Satogunam. And means a buddhi, you have a buddhi for good for cultivating spiritual knowledge. And similarly, what it's saying is that my buddhi should become suitable for self-realization. For that purpose, I'm chanting the Gayatri. Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha Tat Savidur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. What is Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat means? I should be encouraged. I should be driven in that direction of knowledge of the self. It's for that purpose you chant the Gayatri. Right? Gayatri, in the form of Gayatri, it is being addressed in that way. Yeah? And that buddhi has to come from Gayatri. In other words, what it means is, there is a shakti called Medha Shakti. Medha Shakti means that if you have good Medha Shakti, you become a rishi. If you have good Medha Shakti, you become a rishi. Right? In other words, able to see things from a very subtle level. We not operating on a gross level all the time. Yeah? And so for the knowledge of the self and the capacity to absorb in spiritual life and able to analyze things and more go deeper and deeper into it, that capacity, that strength, you get that from chanting Gayatri. It is for that purpose Gayatri is. Gayatri, therefore Gayatri mantram is given as the best among all the other mantrams. In the Gayatri mantram is given priority because of this, right? So, you can say like this, in the modern way if you put it, you can say that it is a condensed form of the solar power, solar energy, is this Gayatri. Now we have got solar energy, solar panels and all that. That's a gross way of taking the solar energy, right? Sun is supposed to be the source of knowledge, is it not? Sun, Surya Vamsham comes from sun. Sun is a source of knowledge. So, spiritual rishis approaches sun that way, to get the knowledge of the self from the sun. I mentioned before also, in many sampradayas they take sannyasam from sun. Especially those who are vidur sannyasam, and they are taking. They take. So, rishi's understanding of the sun is like that. Our understanding, solar panels, solar energy, this is our understanding. So you see the difference? How we see the sun, how the rishis see the sun. Rishis are saying to us that the Gayatri mantram is for sun's blessings to develop that Medha Shakti inside, to understand the fineness of the soul and the Antaryami's presence inside. Soul, Jnana Margam is based on the sun. Krishna mentioned that in the Bhagavad Gita. Maivatswan Manave Praha Manu Rikshagave Brafit. That is solar dynasty, is it not? Ramchandra's dynasty is solar dynasty. And that solar dynasty is Jnana Margam, it is basically. And Chandra, starting from the moon dynasty, lunar dynasty, is a bhakti process, right? So solar dynasty is what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Aham. Imam Vivasvade Yogam Proktaman Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manu Rikshagave Bravit. That is solar dynasty what Krishna is talking about, Jnana Margam, what he said. And this knowledge, Krishna says, I've given to Vivasvan millions and millions of years ago. Is it not? So Jnana Margam begins with sun, and approaching the sun through Gayatri is a process what rishis have spoken and taught us. Right? So Gayatri is the process by which you please sun, Vaivasvan, present in the sun. Andaryami, present in the sun, is that Vaivasvan. Right? And so that is the way rishis approach the sun. Our approach is constantly the solar panels people are beating us to death. with their advertisements and they're sending messages and YouTube and everywhere, solar panels, he says, solar energy, right? So different types of power is coming from the sun, and Savitra Devada, right? So the sun's Jnana Shakti, the power of knowledge of the sun, rishis managed to get it through the sound, and they managed to capture that, and that is the mantram, what they have created, right? You should not ask about the logic in all these things. If you start asking logically, you prove that and all, you can't answer that question, right? And every sound, what the rishis have created, a different mantram from that, it has got its own potency, right? And you see, every sound has its own potency. Mantram, I'm saying. Different mantrams in the Vedam. What they have created, the mantram the rishis have spoken, through their chanting the Gayatri and pleasing the sun god, Vivaswan, they have received this knowledge in the form of mantram, and they have left it that in the Vedam. Yeah. So, but the mantram has its potency. Every mantra has its own potency. And yukti or logic won't work there. If you start bringing your logic and you want to find out, prove it to me that your mantram is capable of doing this or capable of doing that, you can't do that with the mantram, right? It has its own limitations, right? Just like in Ayurvedam also, there are certain medicines. They grow in the forest, right? And some medicines are particularly good for some diseases. And if you ask the logic behind it, you can't give you any logic for that. That particular medicine, if you bring particular plant from the forest, and if you use it for treatment, it will cure the disease. There are certain diseases and there are certain plants in the same way. Yeah. So, and if you ask what is the logic, there is no logic in that, right? So, what it is that the sound through which the mantrams, what the rishis have created, right, in a particular combinations of these different letters in that sound form, that the Shabda Devada, sound Devada form, decided that they become the cause for Brahma Vidya, for self-realization. That is how you see the Shabda Brahmam and Parabrahmam, two divisions in the Vedam, is it not? You remember Chitrakedu, when he went to see Balaram, he was said that Param Brahma, Shabda Brahma, Param Brahma, Mamobhe Shashwati Tanu, says. Balaram says to Chitrakedu, I have two sides to me. One is Shabda Brahma, other one is Parabrahma. Shabda Brahma, Parabrahma, Mamobhe Shashwati Tanu. And they are both eternal. So the absolute truth, Brahma, is present in the sound. And the rishis were able to capture that. And they knew what is the sound combination, letter combination, or what sound combination is required for that mantram, for that particular upasana process. Yeah? So, if you start asking logic behind that, there is no logic in all these things. Logic won't work here, right? So, the way it happens is that the Devada of the sound have decided that these things, letters comes together and the mantram is formed. I am present in that for Brahman realization, for Brahma Vidya. I am present in that, right? So you don't have to go ask further than that. There is no need for that, right? So, so that is why those mantram, even without knowing the meaning of that mantram, if you chant properly and if the swaram is right, the what do they call it? The swaram means this, the way you pronounce it, yeah, the way the sound forms out from you, right? And if it goes like that, it becomes a proper mantram. Savitra Devada. Because you have to understand this. You see, Vedam is taught to the children at the school, right? They don't understand anything. But they are studying, reciting it day in and day out. Veda mantram. Right? So what is it coming from that? This mantram, if it is recited, they know very well, over a period of time, it develops a sattugunam in the person by reciting Vedam. There's a long history behind Vedam. Vedam, if it is recited regularly, even without knowing the meaning, many of the scholars who recite Vedam in the temple, they don't understand the meaning of it, but they are reciting it in front of the deity. Sitting there and reciting, it pleases Krishna, Vedam. Right? So, Savitri Devata. So, you can see there that if you create this, that is why this recitation of the Vedam is so important, because of this reason. Nowadays, because the scholars who recite the Vedam are very few, and everybody is busy with Google and Amazon and other things. They are too busy with that. So, the people who are very committed seriously for Vedic knowledge is few people. Slowly it has become like that. So therefore, some temples now, what they do once a week at least, they bring a Vedic scholar. He sits there in front of the deity and recite the Vedam. If you ask him the meaning of that, he won't be able to tell you. But he knows that by reciting that Vedam, he has been trained from early days itself, from childhood, right? So what does is, it helps to create sattugunam there. He will develop sattugunam himself, and once sattugunam develops, attraction for self-realization gets stronger inside. We are not attracted to self-realization, is it not? Every time we talk about self-realization, we think, if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it doesn't come. That's our nature. Why is it like that? People are not interested in self-realization. They are interested in getting followers and building so many big projects going on, whatever that is going on. Saving the world, this is the biggest thing. We have saved the world so much now, you can see the world where it is now, after saving the world. All waste of time, completely waste of time. So the point is that sattugunam creates in a person the urgency or a desire for self-realization, which means desire for knowledge and all the necessary features like vairagyam, detachment from the world, don't get distracted by the world so much, and knowledge-based life. These things will happen to him. That is the benefit. If sattugunam builds up in a person, right? And there are examples for that. You have to pick it up from the Puranams and the Ramayana, Mahabharatam, everywhere, right? Very often this is what happens. See Valmiki's case. Who was Valmiki? Dacoit. He was a dacoit. And these people, they told him that you chant Rama, 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 Rama. He couldn't even chant Rama, Rama, Rama. But told him to chant Mara, Mara, Mara. Mara means tree, isn't it? So, and that story is famous, right? And simply by chanting that letter, it becomes changed Valmiki. And he wrote this greatest epic Ramayana from him, right? So, after chanting that Rama, Rama mantram, sattugunam developed in him, and due to that, that dacoit mind has gone and he has become a rishi. Imagine the power of the mantram. A dacoit has become a rishi. And so Valmiki himself did not know what was happening to himself. He did not know what was happening, right? So he has not gone to school. He has not studied anything. He didn't study any shastram. He was a dacoit and that was his profession. And from that, due to the blessing of the rishis, he has become Valmiki, the great rishi, right? So, that is all the effect of sattugunam, what it does is, right? And he felt karunyam. For a dacoit, normally there is no karunyam, mercy, right? But he felt so much mercy inside, and that turned into distress, shokam, and shokam became shlokam, verse. And that's Ramayanam, yeah? Shokam shlokatvam agada. It says, his distress when he saw the birds too sitting on the tree and the arrow was shot by the hunter, when one bird died, the other bird sitting there and seeing that, his heart melted. That is his distress. And from that, Shlokam came, verses came, and that became Ramayanam. So, Shlokam Shokatvam Agada. So, Sattvagunam can become the cause of self-realization, Atmajnanam, right? It is knowing this very well that rishis will give the mantram with this understanding to develop sattvagunam in others, right? A long time chanting the holy name, mantram, japam, nama japam, but along with that, ahara shuddhi and anushtanam in that way to live in this world, right? So, they did not give upadesham for mahavakyam, like aham brahmasmi, tattvamasi and all that. They will give simple things like this. Simple mantram to chant and allow to help the person to develop sattvagunam. And when they are ready for the final stage, then the mahavakya upadesham is given to them. So, because after chanting the mantram for a long period of time, the mind becomes very focused then. Yeah? And when our mind is all over the place, which is normal, right? And when it is called vikshiptam, everywhere, in a completely disturbed state, that means it is in tamogunam most of the time. First you have to bring it down into a certain level of peace inside from that disturbed mind situation, right? So, in order to bring it to a rhythm, and therefore, ahara shuddhi, pure food, sattva shuddhi, salsangam, living alone, it helps a lot for that. And with all the help of all that, if your inside is pure, then automatically the knowledge of the self will come up in that person without any external effort, right? So, he will develop a certain frame of mind that he gets attracted to knowledge, to spiritual knowledge and self-realization. Automatically, it happens to him. Shastrasya Guruvakyasya. For Shastram and Guruvakyam, both of them, he will have a different feeling when he takes Bhagavad Gita in the hand or Bhagavatam in the hand. He will feel differently. He won't be reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam like a book. He will feel something in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam that is changing him, affecting him, right? And that is what is called Shraddha. That's what is called Shraddha, right? So, that is why in Viveka Chudamani mentioned, Shastrasya, Guru Vakyasya, Satya Buddhyavadharana, Sa Shraddha. Shraddha means that when you study Shastram, when you hear from the spiritual authority, great personalities, Guru Vakyasya, what they say is having an impact on you. It's not that just it comes and goes like that. In order to have that impact on us, Satya Buddha, Sa Shraddha. If it is happening, you can say he has got Shraddha, that means he is in Sattvagunam. Only when Sattvagunam is there, that Shraddha will be there. So if there is Shraddha, it means there is Sattvagunam in him. And if there is Shraddha, it means that the message is getting in. It is very deep thing it is, yeah? So, and at that time, as soon as you hear things from what Krishna has spoken, you may be able to get the inner import of that, what Krishna was saying, right? Nowadays, how do we understand? We read the book, we read the translation, we read the purport, and then we say we have understood. The whole thing is wrong actually. It's not for understanding. It is for realizing inside, yeah? What Krishna has said, has it impacted me? If it has not impacted me, to say to others that I have understood what Krishna is saying, that's useless. That Krishna has not given any value for that, yeah? So such a person means that he has, the knowledge has changed him, affected him. Right? And person who has become like that, he is called a disciple. So, think about what a proper disciple, what Shastram says, and what we are doing about all that. We are a very strange combination. We get lots of people, we have a fire sacrifice ceremony, you get a name and a mala, and then you are a disciple. That doesn't work. This is all external things. You can do something with that, but at least you start something somewhere. But proper disciple means when these things happen. Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satya Buddhyava Dharana Sa Shraddha. When Shraddha is there, right? So, Shishya, disciple actually, strictly speaking, is not different from the master, from the master, right? The moment the spiritual master and the disciple come together, they have become one because of that bondage with the knowledge, right? But to come to that state of maturity, you got to have so much of sattvagunam inside. To such a degree of sattvagunam should be inside, yeah? So, you can see that. In the next verse, he is saying that. Satval sanjayade jnanam rajaso lobham evacha pramada mohau tapaso bhavado ajnanam evacha. These verses, it needs explanation a lot, because to understand sattvagunam itself is difficult for us. We don't know what sattvagunam means, right? So Krishna is saying here that these three planetary systems, what we talk about, urdvam gacchandi sattvastha, madhye tishtandi rajasa, jaghanya gunavrittastha, atho gacchandi tamasaha. What he is saying is that higher planetary system, middle planetary system, lower planetary system, right? You can call it as the heavenly planets, the lower planets, middle planets, and the lower planets. All these three planets are present here in this world, right? And there are different planes of existence. You know, it is very difficult actually to explain this also sometimes, because we develop some understanding first when we read the book. What is that? We think there is heavenly planet somewhere far away, we have to go there. Actually, all these different planets what we are talking about is different planes of existence, even while within this body. Yeah, even while within this body. But when we hear, oh, we start thinking, oh, there is a spiritual world, we have to go there and everything will be alright. Here it's okay, the way it is. But when we get there, everything will be fine. And then we hear about all the different... this is more interesting. That when you tell them about these heavenly planets, right? Everybody has a different perception about heavenly planet. Sanatana Dharma talks about heavenly planets in one way. The other religions also have some perception of heavenly planets. When you start asking them about the details of the heavenly planet, when they start explaining that, then causes problems. Arguments begin from that. Very strong arguments happen about this, about the heavenly planets. And they all say to you that after death, if you have rigidly followed the rules and regulations here, you will get there. That's what they are. Now, where is the guarantee? What he says is the guarantee, that's all. There's no other guarantees there. So, on the words of the preacher, you have to believe that, because he said so, I said so, so you have to believe that, and you have to operate on that basis, right? That's not how rishis spoke about it. Rishis said all these different planetary systems, what we talk about, they're all present here. You can be in the higher planetary systems while here itself, yeah? So, and similarly, these are not the only three planetary systems, there is other planes of existence. And those who think that what you see with your eyes alone is the truth, in Shastram, they are called Nastiyas. You know, Nastiyam means atheists, right? Atheism in Sanatana Dharma is different from the atheism what the modern world is talking about. Other people say, do you believe in God? They say to you. You say, I don't believe in God. Then you are an atheist. That's how they stamp you like that. You are an atheist if you don't believe in God, right? Sanatana Dharma don't say like that. Sanatana Dharma is saying that that those who believe in everything what you see through their eyes, that alone is the truth, they are the atheists. Do you see the difference? Those who see this world and see things that this is the only real thing, those who believe like that, they are the atheists, right? And Yamadamadamaraja says this to Nachiketas when he had the conversation, who is an atheist? See the difference? Rishi's way of looking at it is different. Rishis are saying, those who believe that only what you see through their eyes is the truth, is the reality, they are the atheists. And therefore, he's saying like that, right? So, that is not acceptable to Shastram. That's not acceptable to Shastram. Because in this world itself, there is different planes of existence which you cannot see. Which you cannot see. So many things in this world we can't see with our eyes. These eyes are limited in certain way. Right? And there are world exists within us, right? And within every DNA there is a whole universe present within us, right? And these three planetary systems all exist in this world. That is why you see in Kavilam what Kavila Maharshi said, Atraiva Naraka Surga Iti Mata Prajakshade. Kavila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, my dear mother, heaven and hell all is present in this world. He said to her, you know that? Atraiva Naraka Surgam Iti Mata Prajakshade. You can see it here. After talking about these heavenly planets and all, he is saying like that. Yeah. So, so those who are in Sattvagunam, they are in another world. Similarly, everybody's world is not the same here itself, right? Every one of us have got our own world where we live, plane of existence, in other words. And we will be moving from one to another sometimes from that, right? So that's what he is saying here. This verse is talking about. You see? What this verse is talking about is that in this world, while living itself, you can move from Sattvagunam to Rajogunam to Tamogunam, or from Tamogunam to Rajogunam to Sattvagunam, either way. They are all different planes of existence, right? So, Krishna is saying here, so when Sattvagunam builds up in a person very strongly, Urdhvam, he will go up. That means he will be living like a demigod in this world. Devada level. His life will be like a devada in this world. Full of knowledge, full of shanti inside, and not involved in the karmam, freedom from karmam, and total satisfaction, shanti inside, spiritually very vibrant. That is Sattvagunam does to him. Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha. If it is Rajogunam strong in a person, he will be like a human being, attracted to Rajogunam karmam. Rajodigaha karma varaha. Karmam is attraction for him. So that's what will happen with Rajogunam. He will be in that level all the time. Karmam bhalam, karmam bhalam, karmam bhalam. What else? Ragam dvesham, ragam dvesham. In this way. This is all part of that rajasic karmam. Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham. Means that you exist in that world of karmam. And then jaganam gunavrittistha. That is the third one. Jaganya Gunavrittistha. Then Jaganam means, you know what Jaganam means? Bhogasthanam. In our body, that abdomen and part, lower part, is the place where you have the sex life. So that area is called Jaganam. Jaganam Jaganam Gunavrittistha. So you will go to, down to that level. Simply in enjoyment, sense gratification, and no knowledge can come inside. Completely trapped in that area. In the body. You are trapped in that area. Right? And that is what will happen. Your swabhavam will change. Buddhi will change. Right? And in other words, they say that they are like people who do shirshasanam. That your head down and standing on the feet up. And walking with that. Right? So, atho gacchandi tamasaha. They are atho gacchandi. Atho gacchandi means that they are like Rakshasas, tamogunam in them very strongly. And due to this that Jagana Gunavrittistham, in other words, you remember what we began in this class today? Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam. The three lower levels of chakram, right? From there, the jiva will not go up further. It will always float with these three lower chakras. Only when it comes to Vishuddhi, you will start experiencing the Sattvagunam. When it comes to Ajna, then all instructions come from Antaryami inside. This is a big science it is, for Patanjali as well as for Vedavyasa Maharshi. Both of them have spoken about it. So you can't ignore that. That when the jiva rises through the chakra, this is from the Patanjali's language, Ashtanga Yogam process, right? Muladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, the three lower levels, when the jiva is floating within that, he is in that tamogunam state. He won't come, or rajogunam, one of them. He will be floating in that. Only when it elevates further and comes to this ajna chakram, only then you can say that he started the proper spiritual effect is happening within him, right? So that's what these three planes of existence, right? they are called people, the jiva who is floating in the lower chakra. Muladharasthitam, they are called like that, right? Anahatam. All that is Rajogunam. Muladharam and Anahatam. Even Anahatam is that. Only once you cross that, right? Rajogunis are Ajna Chakram when it comes to, they are in the Sattvagunam. In the Sattvagunam. So, that will be very few only in this world. Most of the people will be in this lower three chakras will be operating. And that is what he is referring to, these three planes of existence. Right? There is different ways it is spoken. Right? One person went to America. And there was a Kali temple there in America. There was a Kali temple, right? And some devotees there told him that there is a Kali temple. And they asked him that, they told him that we should go and visit this Kali temple. In America. In America now there's more temples than in India now. They're building temples there. Right? So, he went there to see the temples. So, somebody asked him there that, why have you come to this Patala Loka? Says to him. Right? Because here, he says, Jaganya Gunavurthyasta. In other words, America is that. You understand what I'm saying? That the environment and the society, there is no Sattvagunam there. Everyone is Jaganya Gunavurthistam. That's what it is, right? So therefore, he asked him there, why have you come to this Patalam? What purpose have you come here, right? So, Tamogunam means that maybe it is sometimes looks nice when you look at it from outside, but that jiva has only one interest in life, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, drinking, things like that, right? In other words, increase the sense gratification. That alone is that society based on, yeah? So, in other words, there is no higher ideals in life. Yeah, that's what that word means. Jaganya Gunavrittistha means that a society which is completely absorbed in sense gratification. No higher values, higher understanding of life. So Krishna has spoken about these three gunam now. And now he is saying, one who has gone out of these three gunams. That's what he's going to talk about in now. How they are different from the ones who are trapped in the gunam. Krishna spoke about Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And he told us that you have to develop Sattvagunam if you want to come out of the three gunam. And now Krishna is going to talk about those people who have become, who have escaped from the gunam, who have become free from the gunam, right? Or one who has gone beyond that. And what is the secret behind that? And what is his, how does he do that? Because these three gunam is present in the prakriti. It is maya, isn't it? Maya is this three gunam. And maya is the prakriti. And you are inside that. And within that, how you have come out from that. That's what he's going to say. What he's going to say, right? And so he's saying there that all the three gunam is inside the prakriti. In other words, even if you are in sattva gunam, you are inside maya, inside the prakriti. Even if you are in rajogunam, you are inside the prakriti. Same thing with tamogunam also, right? So, and when you are in the middle, you can go up and you can come down. But again, you are within the prakriti only. Maya means these three things. Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, right? So, just because you have come to sattugunam doesn't mean you have escaped from maya. You are still within the maya. In this prakriti, you are trapped within that. Yeah. So, sometimes what happens is, you are in the middle. You may go up, but you are still in the prakriti. Sometimes you may come down, and you are still in the prakriti. Whatever it may be. But you are all inside the prakriti, right? So, so this journey happens with the people, right? But one who has gone beyond the three gunam, right? For example, a person, you can have sattugunam for some time, and then rajogunam will come to you. And then rajogunam will leave you and tamogunam can come to you, right? And when all the three gunams have, you may be able to transcend that for some time, and for a short period of time, you may be in a spiritual state, freedom from the bodily identification or all. And for a short period of time, then you come back again into the lower modes, right? And if you ask a person about that, he will say that, I was okay in the morning, but now I feel very depressed, he will say. Sometimes you felt shanti, sometimes you feel very disturbed, and sometimes you start cursing yourself, what this spiritual life is all about, it's not getting anywhere. You can feel like that also. That's coming from tamogunam, right? So in the same way, the mind is also like that. Sometimes in the morning, sometimes you get attracted to chanting the holy name, doing the deity worship or bhakti and all that. After some time, mind get attracted to television, serial, and other things, news, radio, or reels and things like that, right? So, so this sattvam, rajasa, tamasa is present in everything, and one who has gone beyond that, these three modes, right? The strength of his knowledge, jnana balam, and jnana ashritya, Krishna is going to say that, that jnanam, when he has purely controlled by knowledge, by spiritual knowledge, what will happen to him? You remember when we started this chapter, Krishna mentioned in the second verse, you look at that, idam jnanam upashritya, he said. You have taken shelter of this knowledge. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agada sargevi nobajayende pralayana vethandija. So that is what Krishna is going to talk about. Idam jnanam upashritya. So sarga means, while living in this world, you are caught up in this trisargam, in these three modes of nature. You are within that, right? And you are stuck in that. That is sargam, trisargam, right? And only when death happens, you become free. And therefore, Krishna is saying that the symptom of a jnani, what is it? What is the symptom of a jnani? That is the next verse. You see there? Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pashyadi gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gacchadi. Malbhavam sodhi gacchadi. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pashyadi gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gacchadi. Famous verses they are. Krishna is saying, a person who has come out of this avidya, or the three modes of nature, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, what is his state? That's what he is going to talk about. We'll continue with that tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.